welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah, get it on. 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Teresa Strasser, big old bye.
Hello.
Let's see, little earthquake.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what time the earthquake hit. Do you guys know what time?
Around 1, they're saying.
1 a.m., really?
Mm-hmm. 1 a.m., interesting. It's been adjusted for my sleeping schedule.
Right.
Because earthquakes only hit when I'm asleep.
Right.
I've been out here my entire life, and the first big one hit at like 4-something or 5-something in the morning, and then the last big one hit about 3-something or 4-something a.m. They don't hit at, you know, normally they don't hit at 12:45 at night. They hit at 3:34. Like, they hit when everyone is asleep.
There's
right. There's that zone between 3:45 and 4:30 when everyone is definitely asleep. Mm-hmm. Even the hardiest, even the people that party the most, even Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
Most weeknights in Nicole Richie are tucked in by like 4 a.m.
Sure.
4 to 7 a.m. is when they raid drug dealers' houses because that's the hour even crackheads will be home.
Uh-huh. Even crackheads are, you know, calling it a night at a certain point. So the last, right, the more you know. The last one hit out in 94, I believe, it was in the fours. It was about 4-something in the morning.
Oh, 4 in the morning.
Yeah, like 4:15 or something.
Not Richter scale.
Not Richter scale. Magnitude. This one was adjusted for me because I used to go to bed at 2 in the morning, thus the one that hits at 4:30 goes 2.5 hours after I go. Now I go to bed at 10:30 at night. Thus, the 1 o'clock earthquake. You see, it's always the middle of the night. It wouldn't have happened if I was still doing Loveline because I would have been up.
Of course.
They would have
not.
Had to push it back. Earthquake can never hit when you've had a cup of coffee and your street shoes and socks are on and you're standing somewhere going, oh, this is an earthquake. It can only hit in the middle of REM when it gets incorporated into your dream.
So in 42 years in the valley, well, or 42 years and very close to 20 miles and close to the spot you were born, I'm thinking.
Yes.
In 42 years, am I still right on that? 42 years?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you actually felt?
I get woken up by them and thus confused. The first thing that happens is they enter your dream.
Yeah.
You're having a dream where you're a centaur or something or whatever it is.
Cool. Yeah.
And then something starts happening that moves you in the dream. Yeah. You're standing on a drawbridge and the drawbridge starts moving around and you yell, the king's men are coming.
And then,
so the first few minutes does you no good because you are, once you fall asleep, your mind has this thing where it's like, look, I don't want to wake up. So, if there's an earthquake, I'll work it in.
Right.
If there's a truck that's backfiring out in the street, I'll just make it a gunshot going off. Phone ring will be a fire alarm or something, you know.
It's the I'm fired alarm.
I will work it in. I will subconsciously work whatever outside noise that could distract me from my REM sleep. Yeah. I will work it into my dream to wake me so that I don't wake up. That's what you do with the earthquakes. Eventually it becomes too overwhelming, and you just get up.
But your schedule has affected the movement of the tectonic plates.
Well, obviously.
Clearly.
Yeah. I mean, I shifted it from what would have been 3:30, 4 a.m. when I would have been sleeping in the past up to about 1 a.m. when I was just entering the REM. Now, I barely felt it. I don't know if you guys felt it. I don't know what the deal was with it.
Well, I think it was a magnitude 4.5.
Which is a reasonable size.
4 miles northwest of Chatsworth, out in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
I think I did the thing where I worked it into my dream because this morning I woke up and I looked over at Dominic.
Mm-hmm. You just want
to
say
I have to use
that.
His fake name. I know. Did I mention that I have a boyfriend?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if I mentioned it. But
that
I just
might
said,
explain the little ponies on your shirt.
I said, I want to get off the roller coaster.
Oh, you weren't talking about the dream, baby.
I must have dreamt that so I could stay sleeping.
Well, I just wanted to put it out to all the folks who didn't live out here. I realize that everyone is thoroughly freaked out by earthquakes.
See, I don't, and I got a text first thing this morning.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the texts that come after I've shut my phone off appear to have come at the time approximately I turned my phone on. Mm-hmm. So I woke up early, and it said 4:11. I just felt my earthquake, and I'm scared to death. And it was an executive, and I called her to see if she wanted me to come over, if she wasn't kidding. Well, apparently it happened 1 in the morning, and she just got a call from me at 4:11 saying, want me to drop by. So that's a weird...
Sounds like a booty call.
I'm going to so try and convince her either that that didn't happen, and if I can't get away with I didn't call, you were sleeping, because she'll probably have a trace thing on her phone, I will explain then the phone delay thing.
Right. Well, I'm just putting it out there to all the people who hear this show who are not in the Southern California area. Don't come.
Yeah.
We got earthquakes.
Yeah.
The one thing...
Oh, we have pox.
Don't come. The one thing that the rest of the country seems to be freaked out by is an earthquake. Now, it doesn't mean much to those of us who've been here for quite some time, but it freaks out. There's something visceral about it to other people.
If you haven't grown up with it.
Yeah, it's weird because you guys can wrap your minds around gangbangers and smog and all the other things we have over here, and you seem to be able to deal with that, or at least put it in some sort of compartment in your head. But earthquake freaks people out. And that is the one thing that gets people to slow down when it comes to coming from Minnesota to Southern California, is the earthquake. Now...
Good.
It never, there's a, per usual, it should be the last thing on your list.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that gas is another 50 cents a gallon and it takes you 45 minutes to move 8 miles in your car, and the fact that the two-bedroom apartment where you're from is $400 and here it's $2,500. Mm. Those should be all the things that are preventing you from moving here.
Yes.
And whatever actor modeling, whatever career you think you're on the verge of, you're just going to end up working at a Blockbuster for 11 years, paying $2,400 for rent, you and your 13 roommates and your two-bedroom apartment. That's why you shouldn't move here. But if you want to use the earthquake,
please
knock yourself out.
Absolutely.
That's my feeling 100%.
We actually, in some of the cheaper hotels that you'll probably be staying until you'll find a place, still have those blankets we gave the Indians.
Yeah.
See, just there's another reason not to come out right there. Smallpox.
They're
it's everywhere out here.
Yes. All right, we need to take ourselves a little break. Well, let me tell you what's on tap for today. Let's see, we have that judge. I think Teresa reported on him last week or the week before. He uses his very creative sentencing. Guys were heading out to the chicken ranch to get laid. He put them in chicken outfits. It's one of these things I didn't know. In this, it's ironic because in this sort of day and age where everyone is getting sued for everything, it seemed to me that you'd be able to sue a judge who told you, go out, get this sandwich board. The sandwich board needs to say, I'm a bad person and don't marry me. And then stand out in the corner because I created, you know, because a guy... You know, welfare fraud or whatever it is.
Remember New York City, a guy chained his bicycle to a tree, which is illegal there, because they've got like 6 trees.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sentenced to 24 hours or 12 hours, whatever it was, of hugging that tree. Couldn't let go of it. That's sometimes a little bit of abuse. But on the other hand, for the stuff you could get, I'll hug something for a day.
Well, this judge gives the option of prison time or whatever crazy punishment.
Oh, I see. If you give the option, thus they chose it themselves, thus you're not liable anymore.
Precisely.
Right. Well, look, the point is the rest of America is in love with this stuff because this is what we want. You know, when we talk about we want to see these people pay their debt to society. Paying your debt to society by costing society $50,000 a year to not pay your debt to society doesn't feel so great.
No, not a smart move.
I love a society. I love it when the guy gets busted for graffiti and then has to paint the entire side of the building and the neighboring building that he didn't even graffiti on that has graffiti on it.
Certainly.
We all love that. I mean, that's all we want,
the
right?
The punishment should exceed the crime. Your graffiti and the next guy's graffiti.
Not only exceed it, but we love it when the rapist gets raped themselves.
Yeah. Yeah,
you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
We want it to fit, and you just sitting in a box staving off a guy who wants to have sex with you for 50 grand a year does not feel all that satisfying to us.
No, you must unstave.
Right.
You just described 95.
All right. We will take ourselves a little break. When we come back, Judge, I think it's Chicken Eddie. Right. I don't know what. All right. We'll take a quick break.
Stereos.
Judge Chicken Eddie next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. With an early peek at this morning's show, here's our program director, Jack Silver.
Time to make the sausage, peeps. Today we got celebrity gossip with our favorite gay couple, Lynn and Alex. Well, not my favorite. I don't have a favorite. I'm not in any way attracted to any of them. I hate them all. More clips from our buddy Hugh Hauser and 80s teen legend Corey Feldman. Good Christ, peeps. Feldman and Bonaducci together in the same studio. Looks like Talktober came early this year.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Judge Chicken Eddie. Judge, aptly named Judge Chicken Eddie. Judge? Judge Mike?
Yes, good morning.
Good to speak to you.
How are you?
Doing well, thank
right.
you. So you've been serving for 14 years as a judge in Painesville. Has it all been in Painesville, which is a suburb of Cleveland?
It's not really a suburb of Cleveland, but yes, it's all been here in Painesville. I mean, I've lived here all my life. It's a it's a fairly small town, but the population of the court district, we have about 100,000 people that live here.
Well, the important thing is I've kept my streak alive of almost every statement I've said that's on my card being wrong in the first salvo in an interview.
Hey, this is good because this leads us into the judge's specialty, which is giving people creative penalties. What about the person who puts incorrect facts on our research, which should happen to them, Judge.
Oh, I don't know. You're going to have to deal with them. You're going to have to come up with something creative, but I'd probably have them go to this big blackboard or billboard out there on the interstate.
Why don't we just have them keep the dunce cap on for another week?
I was thinking if we follow the judge's lead, that person would be a fact checker. We make them dress up as a big red checker from a checkerboard and make them stand in the street with, "I'm an idiot."
Well, that would be a start. I'd probably do something a little more creative, but that's a start.
Hey, don't get more creative than one of the hosts, okay? There, Judge, just calm down. Cost me my job.
How does that work? Now, tell me some of the more creative penalties you've given out over the years.
Oh, gosh, there have been so many of them, and most of them, folks, are spontaneous. I'm in court today. We're 3 hours ahead of you over here. And this morning, I'm sure that I'll get a case, and it may or may not receive notoriety, but it's going to teach that person a lesson. I mean, over the years, I've had the guy stand outside my court here in the parking lot next to a huge pig because he had called a police officer a pig. So I had him stand out here with a sign on the pen that said, "This is not a police officer." Of course, people come by and honk the horns. And it's other, if somebody eggs somebody's car, what am I going to do, put them in jail?
Right.
No, I make that person go over once a week for the next 3 months to that person's house and wash their car.
I love that. Why don't more judges do that?
I don't know. Because you know what else it does, Adam and Teresa? It gives the victims, a feeling of vengeance, which they never get in court. They walk into court and some judge puts them off in jail, gives them a fine, and the person is sitting in the courtroom and go, "Well, what about me?"
Yeah, well, not only the victim, but the society that the victim is a member of, because we all feel that way, too. As anyone who wouldn't call a cop a pig, I call him the fuzz, I'm very respectful, and as someone who wouldn't egg someone's car, unless I thought they were gay or of a different nationality or race than me. As one of those members of society, white, straight, male society, it's satisfying to me to see a guy go pay his debt to another member of our society. It makes us feel better.
Well, Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. I just, you know, for years you see the victims sit back here, and they just don't feel like the courts, the judicial system has treated them fairly, and they're not a part of it. Let's get them involved.
Can I ask you this?
Absolutely.
We live in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible to do this kind of thing in a city this size? Because I feel like, sure, we have gangbangers who get busted for doing graffiti or mm-hmm. vandalizing something. We wouldn't have enough people to supervise these people, and there's no towns feeling to it. You know, I mean, would this model work in a place like New York, Chicago, or L.A.?
I mean, it may or may not, and you hit it correctly. You need the supervision. I'm fortunate that I have a great staff here that can go out and supervise, make sure that the mission is accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get a pig somewhere, right?
Yeah, we do that. But
I mean, how does that work, and whose budget does that come out of?
You know what? The minute I gave that sentence, somebody dropped a dime to someone else that works in the area, and it wasn't within 5 minutes they volunteered to bring the pig over here and set it up for me.
Much like this radio station, you call out for it, you need it, although I got to ask you, when was the last time you dropped a dime and actually really got a dial tone?
Yeah, well,
you
got to
drop
true.
About 50 cents. It just doesn't sound any good anymore.
Well, I told you I live in a small town.
Well, Judge, you've also had a punishment that had to do with a donkey. That's one of my favorites of yours.
Oh, yeah. These people took a statue of Jesus and desecrated it. You know, they put blood on it and there's poked holes and so on and so forth. They took it from one church and placed it on the steps of another non-denominational church. Well, when they were caught, you know, everybody said, oh, this is some, devil's right group or whatever.
Right.
You know, crazy thing, right? And we found out it wasn't. Just people that got a little high, got a little drunk, and did something very, very stupid. So, you know, we could take it out of the what people would say would be the serious violation. Okay, here's something stupid. So I had him appropriately. It was around the holidays. Walk down the street with a donkey with a sandwich board on each side of the donkey that said, "We're sorry for our jackass offense." And they walked from the scene of the crime down to the police station, about a mile, mm-hmm. through the village, not mine, but another one, through a small village, got to the police department, apologized to the police, the general public, put them in a patrol car, and took them to jail after that for 45 days for a jail drug and alcohol treatment program.
So he had to do both. This person had to do both.
Well, yeah, they had their. Well, it would have been 90 days.
I see.
But it was now 45 days, cut in half with the jail treatment program.
Can I ask you this, Judge Mike Ciccinetti,
sure.
The very creative judge? Do you? Maybe you don't consciously know this, but think about it and be honest if you can.
He's a judge, for God's sakes, Paul.
If I came up with a really creative, cool sentence for somebody, you know, with something involved parading a donkey down the street and a sandwich board sign, I would say, all right, now I'm going to give you two choices, son, for your petty larceny. You can either march the donkey up and down the street mm-hmm. with the sandwich board sign that says I'm a jackass, or mm-hmm. you can do three life sentences.
Or three life sentences, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I would make the other one so incredibly great that you would have to choose.
Right.
Otherwise, you'd be doing 250 years for littering.
Oh, geez, Adam, I never thought of that.
Yeah, Adam's good with that.
I'm sure you thought of that, but obviously you can't go beyond what it says you can give out for whatever crime. But you go maximum, right? So you get them to do it.
There is a choice that's it's usually an easy choice of a substantial jail time or the alternative sentence, and lo and behold, they. You know, they take the alternative.
Right, I'm just saying, if you didn't come up with anything particularly creative for someone to do, you might just give them less time, right, as an option.
Yeah, that could happen.
All right.
But the thing I like is that the judge mm-hmm. is talking about his small town. That person is now, and you talk about this a lot, Adam, that person is now shamed. People
yes.
know who that was.
Yeah.
They had to walk with the donkey. Here, it's a guy trying to get a part of a guy walking with a donkey.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's the mascot for the Red Lobster, and it's a guy dressed up like a lobster. He doesn't know that Judge Ciccinetti caught him stealing lobsters, so he made him dress like one.
Right.
There in your community, that guy is known now and probably feels fairly stupid. But what options would you give with a serious crime where someone was injured? Would you give any options?
No, I do not do that. These aren't the serious offenses.
Right.
You know, you can't do that. You can't screw around with domestic violence,
right.
OVIs, DUIs, those kind of things, or assaults. You know, you just can't screw around with those. You know,
I would have voted for you for something. Yes. I just want to cast my vote for this judge for something.
We should say that this judge is extremely popular with his constituents.
And on the radio, you ever had a guy, whether you read a human interest story like this, you put them on the radio and they're just, pardon the expression, death. They just don't live up to their personality at all. This judge completely delivers. I would like to vote you king. Is that possible?
That belongs to LeBron out here in Cleveland.
So
I can't take the crown away from him. No, you know, you go to work every day, and you do too. I'm sure that you do. You go to work, you enjoy what you do, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with having a little fun.
I completely agree, and especially when it comes to the city. You know, the city never or rarely has a sense of humor about anything, but especially itself, you know. I love it when a politician cracks a joke. I love it when a judge comes up with something creative. I just love it when a city can sort of have a sense of humor. I mean, if you think about all things that involve the city, whether it be the courthouse or whether it be the DMV, it's the most depressing, serious place in the world with the most boring people on the planet that have all congregated at some place. It's just, hey, we've all come here to die. Who wants to join us?
Yeah.
I love it when a guy's got a little energy and has a little creativity.
Well, thanks a lot. I have to deal with, you have to deal with Arbitron ratings. I have to deal with the electorate. So if they don't like what I'm doing in 6 years and they review, and they, you know, they can put me out of office.
Yeah, heard that Judge Mike Ciccinetti was number 21, males, 25 to 54, non-English, I mean English-speaking.
English-speaking.
My demographics are anybody over 18 who can vote. That's my entire demographic.
Well, Judge, I'm going to pay you quite a compliment. The next crime that I commit, I'm going to do it in your jurisdiction. I want to meet you that badly.
You may be sorry you said that.
well, that's Corolla. This is Bonaducci, and
I'm not
playing.
Okay, all right.
Mike, all right. Thank you very much, and go nail some perps.
Can I do one
Judge
thing?
Mike,
I've never done this on a radio interview, but I'd like to just say hello to my friend Seth Lawrence out there at Rebel Entertainment.
Where's he at? That's my agent. Seth is my agent.
Yes. Okay, here's
he's
something
next door.
Stupid. All right.
Wow.
All right.
All right. Well, that's his sentence.
Wow. God, not getting me
Judge.
Work.
Very good.
Thanks, Judge.
Wow.
Judge Mike Ciccinetti, everyone.
Dig the judge a lot.
What's a guy out in Painesville, Ohio, doing friends with Bonaducci's agent?
I know, it's really weird.
I think he's probably got a show coming or something.
It's not like if you're a friend of my agent, your friend's very busy.
Got
if
it.
He's my agent, he's got some extra time.
Well, we've learned that Mike's got a great sense of humor, and Painesville, not a suburb of Cleveland.
Let me just say this. The guy who typed up that card is from Cleveland.
Oh. Well, here's the problem.
Yeah.
The problem with life, and maybe especially,
Adam, go.
There's two things I've learned.
Yes.
You don't try to tell a judge something, and you don't try to tell a black athlete something. Because whenever you interview the athlete and you go, Donovan, you threw 11 interceptions in one half. Do you think that may have hurt your team's chances to win? No, not at all.
Not at all.
Now, you can't even say, once in a while you try to trick them and go, you're the greatest quarterback to ever live. And they'll go, no, not at all. Wait a minute. Hold on.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. But you can't put a mic in someone's face. And if you tell someone, here's where you live, they'll go, no, not at all. People just don't like, if you say to a woman's hair, you go, oh, you're a brunette, huh? Well, it's sort of Auburn.
Yeah, it's more red.
Yeah. If you said Auburn, they'd say brunette. You know, people don't, or there's a subset of people out there. I don't know what percentage it is. We all suffer from it a little bit. People don't like it when you say, oh, here's what you do, or here's what you look like, or here's who you are. And they'll just say no. And then oftentimes, like, they'll go, you'll say to someone, oh, you do radio. What do you do? Then you just get up and then you go to the studio and talk to the microphone. No, I don't. No, that's not how it goes. I get up, I go to the studio, and I talk to the microphone. That's what I do. They just don't like. Sometimes they'll just repeat, and it's always a weird conversation when I get into it with people where I go, I just said that. That's exactly what I said. Why are you saying no? That's what I said. But it is weird. You can't tell people where they live or how tall they are or what color their hair is. Yes, I don't know if Painesville is a suburb of Cleveland or not.
Well, it's not a suburb. It's just a small town right near Cleveland.
Well, it's a suburb of Cleveland on the card. All right.
Cleveland, a small town near Cleveland?
Yes. Oh, I see you're being facetious. Thank you. All right. You have to make a joke once a year in order for people to know you're joking.
Remember the episode
on the second time,
of Happy Days where he tries to teach Ron Howard's character, the Fonzie, does how to be tough. And Ron Howard gets his ass kicked, and at the end of the show, Fonzie says, oh, you have to actually have hit someone at least once.
That's
follow
right.
the Fonz,
to tell one joke. Gene? Gene from Carson? Oh, wait a minute.
Hello.
Other side. Hey, Gene.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for picking my call. I love you guys' show.
Thank you, Gene.
I really do. I live in L.A., and I think we should have a sentence, a real sentence, and sending them drive-by shooters to go fight them insurgents out there in Iraq.
Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's gangs, too. You know, our military... guys and girls is not fighting against their military. They're fighting insurgents, which is just a good word for our gangs.
Well, it's interesting. I heard somebody talking politics on the radio just the other day saying, you know, these Al-Qaeda guys, a lot of them are just...
just gangbangers.
Yeah, it's the same thing we say. Well, no opportunity, no education, a broken family.
Extra rocket launcher.
Extra rocket launcher and poverty meets I'm joining Al-Qaeda or I'm joining the Crips.
Right. Give them an AK-47 and drop them
give
off
them.
In
give them one.
On the front line and let them go.
What do you think they did the drive-by with?
Do what they do best.
I love Gene.
You know, they shoot up the innocent people. Let them go shoot them. But knowing our people, they'll end up fighting each other, shooting each other.
That's
well,
right.
I mean,
isn't that the one that shot our uncle last year?
Hold on a second, Gene. Listen, Gene, I have these ideas all the time. I have, you know, the idea. Hold on a second, Gene.
It's hard to snap him back to the show. He has so many these ideas off.
Well, I think we need him.
Wait a minute. Hang on. It's like when you think about a treadmill. You ever go into a gym and you see 20 people all running on a treadmill and you think, wow, we have these things burning coal, belching black smoke up into the atmosphere and stuff. If we could get these treadmills hooked up to something, we could probably power this building on this tread just based on the treadmills.
Right.
It's wasted energy. I feel that way, too. I do. There's a bunch of angry, young, strong people who don't think twice about shooting other people who, you know, I know it sounds like she's joking, but these people should go into the military.
Absolutely.
They need structure. They need discipline. And they ain't scared to shoot at somebody. And there's a greater percentage chance that they're going to get shot in their own neighborhood than in Iraq. At least they do it in Iraq. They're going to get shot by someone they're shooting back at.
Right. I think if Jedward sounded a little less like Macy Gray after a bender, we'd have taken her a little more seriously.
Mean Gene? Oh, wait a minute.
It's
phone bank. No. Devastating.
Well, I like her contention that the insurgents are really just OGs.
But it's true. You don't. I mean, if you think about it, what is, you know, we get caught up in the culture. They look different. They speak a different language. They wear different clothing and they listen to different music. But the reality is troubled teens are troubled teens, right?
Yes.
You take males, you beat the crap out of them. Some parallels in the gangbanger culture and in the Arab culture, the Middle Eastern culture. Lots of heavy punishment, physical punishment meted out to the male children. You then give them no prospects. See, women always have the prospect of, hey, I'll get married. Guys, when they have no prospects, they start getting depressed and angry. So you take 14 and 15-year-old males. You've been weaning them on a diet of punching them in the face for the last 10 years. Now there's no college, there's no jobs, there's no opportunity. You hand that guy a gun and you say, follow me. And he says, hell yeah, why not? My dad's gone. If he is around, he's just beating the crap out of me. There's no place to go. I don't have a job. Here we go. That's how it works. Well, obviously, it's how the gangs work out here, but you think it's so different over there?
probably very similar emotionally.
Do you think those guys...
I mean, it's almost exactly the same.
Those guys aren't all just religious crusaders. You do hear about the guy, oh, he was a doctor and he blew up this, or these guys were college educated. Yeah, that's two guys in Al-Qaeda.
Yeah. Yeah.
The rest of them are a bunch of pissed off teenagers.
Yeah, from impoverished backgrounds.
Right, who probably got smacked around.
Let's give them head start in the Taliban.
You know what we got to do?
It helps.
Vision quest.
We got to get some kind of midnight basketball league going on over there.
For the Taliban.
That's right. We'll get...
Cave league.
Cave League.
Should I refrain from using ethnic slurs?
It'd be nice. Please.
Please refrain from using ethnic slurs.
Thank you.
That's right. They don't all live in caves. Some live in holes. How dare you?
I'm sorry.
All right. We need to take ourselves a... break. But... I'm going to throw that out there. Let's make this a topic. 866-901-ADAM. What is, how do you get a whole part of the region that hates us to quit hating us? I mean, it's nice to go over there and think that we could kill every single person that hates us.
That was my suggestion off the bat.
Unrealistic.
Yeah.
I think the problem is whenever you kill one of the guys who hates us, he has two little brothers that see him die, and now they hate us.
Right.
And now we have to go then kill them in 6 years, and it becomes unrealistic. And it's hard to tell who hates you until they're blowing up your shopping mall.
Right.
What is the plan? I mean, is it kill all of them? Try to cut the head off the snake?
I know that you think kill them all is an unreasonable thing. You probably can't really accomplish it. I'm 48 years old and still optimistically waiting on a growth spurt. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
I would argue that it's ineffective. People have incredibly good memories in foreign countries about a GI who just gave them a Hershey bar.
Right.
And then they don't hate us. Candy, diplomacy.
Hand out some chocolate.
Go in there, hand out chocolate or what? Is it build a school? Is it educate? I kind of like the part where we get them on to something.
Heroin?
Where we get them on to, I'm talking about TiVo.
Oh.
I'm talking about...
an opiate.
Getting them on to something. I know personally...
Yeah, which is an easier kick? TiVo or heroin?
This, it's one and the same.
Yeah.
For me. I'll go into the DTs. I don't see that TiVo for 6 hours.
DTivos.
DTivos. Great band name from the 80s. DTivos. When you have something to lose, you automatically change your trajectory in life. That I know. When you have nothing to lose, then you go out. Who cares if you get killed? Who cares if you kill someone else? Who cares if you spend the rest of your life in prison? It doesn't matter. You show me a guy with a mortgage, a house, and something to lose, I'll show you a guy who doesn't F up nearly as much as a guy who doesn't have anything to lose. So how do we then give them
Something to lose.
I want to know what the plan is. I don't think the current one's working. 866-901-AM, we'll do that next.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Mexico City. A 56-year-old man was killed by a lion and a tiger that he was keeping as exotic pets. The man kept the pets in a cage on the roof of his workplace, which was a meat processing plant. Definitely not a Jew.
You know, the beauty about stereotypes is everyone goes, I don't know what a stereotype is. Why? I don't understand. Why can't a white guy play basketball and a black guy be an accountant? The people pass that crap off. Yeah. I don't think they ever believe it.
No.
They go, I don't know. And, you know, it's like, you'll do that thing where it's like, Jamal on line 8 disagrees, and someone will go, good, be interesting to get a black perspective, and some a-hole has to go, how do you know it's a black person?
That's definitely
very racist, thing to say. You don't know Jamal's a person of color. I'm going to do the Jamal math and guess, but that a-hole. Here's my point. We've heard now 105 definitely not a Jews. Has there ever been one of them where we went, I don't understand why that couldn't have been a Jew.
That might have been a Jew.
That might have been a Jew. No.
The lion, the tiger, and the meat factory? Yeah, that was a Jew.
Every single one of them we heard, we went, oh, yeah, definitely. No.
That was Steinberg for sure.
Florida and a crossbow, and a guy shooting at a Marlin with a crossbow, not... A Jew.
But gets his friend through the ribs by accident.
Not a Jew.
Not a Jew.
That was not the Lefkowitz meat processing plant.
Right. All right. Danny, I'm sorry. You were going to say.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm never that interested in me.
How about a caller?
All right. Let's see. What the hell to do?
How interested they are in me.
Now, look, this is an overall question, philosophical. I don't expect to answer it completely now, but... Everyone wants to know what's going on in Iraq, but then you have Iran, and then you have many other parts of the world where people hate us. And you do whatever you want in Iraq, there's still going to be a big lump of people that hate us and want to do harm to us. Overall, for our grandkids' grandkids, how do we fix this thing? How do we get them to stop hating us?
Yeah.
What do we give them that they can replace their hatred of us with? I would suggest if they had lives, it would help.
Yes.
I don't know how we give them that.
Right, well, I believe just the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. He believes give them lives. I believe give them death. And the reason being, have you ever heard of a Mesopotamian or a Byzantine coming over here in a vest and blowing up anything? No. You know why? Them. There are no Byzantines. The Romans went in and killed everybody. No problems with them.
Maybe they're the very ancient ancestors of what today is known as the modern day terrorists.
Maybe.
Wouldn't be surprised.
I doubt it, Ben. But sound like a new. Sound like I was on to something.
When Girola says it, it just sounds. Oh, that must be right. I'll be quiet.
Ben.
Hi, Adam.
What do you say? How do we solve this problem?
Well, we need to give them something to do to keep their minds off of wanting to kill us. So my suggestion would be to drop those little bottles of schnapps and Playboy magazines by the thousands.
Peppermint schnapps, huh?
Okay, peppermint schnapps is the reason they might have a point.
Well, what you're saying is we do what we did to the American Indians over here. We get them caught up on the booze and the gambling, and they all just die of diabetes or turn on each other.
Well, I'm not trying to think of ways to kill them all. Just got to keep them occupied.
Yeah, get them into their own thing. Yeah, these people, they're... Look, if you took away my booze, my pornography, and my right to look at hot chicks and low-cut dresses, I might start killing in a few years, too.
Yeah. Right. Well, let me ask you a philosophical question, Adam. Is there such a thing as a suicide bomber who's leaving behind a hot girlfriend?
Wow. I don't.
I'm asking a serious question. I don't think that exists.
No,
even if it did, he's replacing her with at least 76 more, and they haven't been passed around the village.
Well, he has something to live for.
I agree. No, look, when I was 19 or 20, I had, no education, no money, and no prospects, no opportunities. I didn't own anything. I was probably... I owned a truck that was worth $1,400 and probably $200 worth of tools. Maybe that was it. When I was 19 or 20, I think I owned a bicycle. I was it. I wanted to go. I remember when they were talking about, well, I went to the fire station and signed up to be a fireman because I thought, well, why not? I wasn't scared of, getting burned. I was scared of living and renting my whole life.
Absolutely.
And then when the first war, the Desert Storm or Shield or Desert whatever broke out back in the late 80s, I thought, oh, let me go over there. They're paying people $50 an hour to go rebuild Iraq. And everyone was like, whoa, that's dangerous. And I was like, hell, I'm not leaving anything behind. When you're not leaving anything behind, I mean, if you look at it, dying is really just leaving. You don't want to leave. You don't want to leave your dog. You don't want to leave your family. You don't. That's when you think about dying, you think leaving. Oh, my God, I have a beautiful house, a beautiful life, a beautiful woman, a beautiful man, a beautiful dog, a beautiful job, a beautiful fill in all the blanks.
All the beautiful blanks.
Do not want to leave. Well, when you get rid of all those blanks, no dog, no life, no money, no career, no house, no whatever. Leaving, pretty easy. Doesn't take long to pack for that. So they have nothing to leave, thus comes the explosive vest.
Right, which is in a way, absolute freedom. And I'm going to go with T, finish the sentence. Freedom's just another word for...
nothing left to lose.
That's right, Janice.
Look at us.
Chrissy?
Who needs Corolla? We should just dump them like we talked about.
That's horrible. We've never talked about that.
I wish you were needed me.
What?
Chrissy? From Monrovia? Oh, crap. I got to hit the other side, sorry. Chrissy?
Yeah,
what's
hi.
Going on, my dear?
Morning,
what's
Chrissy.
What's the answer?
This is really simplistic, but... I think we should get the military out, the soldiers out of there, and offer our help. You know, say, what can we do to help you? They only have, like, electrical power. I was reading a couple, I mean, they're
a couple hours out of the week. Yeah. But here's problem number two.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it, Chrissy from Monrovia. Yeah,
I like her positive attitude.
Although, once you pass menopause, you probably just go by Chris.
Dean?
No one wants to see an 85-year-old Chrissy. With ponytails that are falling off. Here's the thing.
From the chemo.
When we do say, hey, how can we help? Let's make friends. There is this thought, and it's mostly on the left out here, which is if they liked us, they wouldn't do this. Well, when we do that, they perceive it as weak. It's not like. They look at us as pussies. They look at us as weak, and they blow us up that much faster. So there's this weird thing, which is, obviously, we can't kill all of them. That's not going to work. Obviously, if we build them a huge rec room and tons of, tons of schools and things, they'll look at that as just us being puss and weak, and the same people will still want to kill us. There needs to be a way to preoccupy them, to have them live for something. I don't know. I just feel like you show me a terrorist with a hot girlfriend and a small business he's trying to run, and I'll show you a guy who says, I'll kill myself next year. I just want to finish humping this chick, and I have a few guys that owe me some money. I just want to collect that, and that next year will turn into 5 years, and eventually he'll just be retired. All right, we need to take our start making our cultural move. Wait a minute.
Our culture more tolerant.
Let's see. Ryan?
Yes, sir?
Quickly.
I was thinking that part of the problem is that them hating us is more that they look at us and they see such weak morals and people that have, you know, no real social standards and don't want anything better for themselves. And what they see is what they see on TV.
Yeah.
So they may see Danny and the Partridge Family from the 70s, but then they also see, you know, Playboy, Triple X, steamy stuff, and they think to themselves, what kind of a culture promotes that as a cultural value?
Right, but we don't promote it as a cultural value. It's just a part of our culture, a small part of our culture, but we're not going to change that, so what's the answer?
Yeah, plus somebody that says Playboy Triple X knows not of what he speaks.
Wow.
Anyway, our culture's not so
Playboy's
bad.
Playboy's like rated PG at best.
Right.
You need to send them all down to Mr. Fister if they really want to hate us.
That's right. That's right. Every night's boys' night. We'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, T with the news. T?
If you ever listen to a song over and over and over?
Mm-hmm.
This one woman listened to the same song for 8 months. Now she's in trouble with the law. I'll tell you what song and what the law is going to do to her. And why is a man suing 1-800-Flowers?
I pray it's Maneater, by the way. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Stick around for Huell Hauser.
Caution, horses may bite.
Celebrity gossip from Lynn and Alex. Adam is Mr. Brightside. And Corey Feldman.
First you gotta do the truffle shuffle. Come on!
Call 866-901-ADAM.
Do it! Come on! Do it!
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
With Teresa Strasser in the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
A suspect has been arrested in connection with the execution-style slaying of three college students in Newark, New Jersey. There was a surviving student, a 19-year-old named Natasha Ariel, and she has helped lead police to the suspect. The mayor of Newark, Mayor Cory A. Booker, said yesterday that she helped police to crack the case. He didn't elaborate, and I think today they're planning to announce the identity of the shooter. Apparently robbery was the motive in that case.
Well, rob somebody and you shoot all four of them in the head.
Horrible.
Now, a couple things. First off, that person needs to be executed. If you can stand there, look, if you come home from work early and there's a guy on top of your wife and you're a cop and right. you're still wearing your gun and the thing that on the holster isn't snapped and you pull it off and just start screaming and fire into the guy's ass. I'd like to see you do some time, but I don't look at you as dangerous to me, per se.
Right.
If you rob four strangers, they hand over their wallets, and when you're done, you put four bullets in four heads. You are a kind of dangerous that I can't describe, and thus, I rarely say this, you're a danger to the people in prison.
Right. No, you're right.
It's not fair to the other guys that have murdered people to have to hang out with you for the next 80 years.
Certainly unfair to bank robbers and embezzlers.
Yes. Let's just take one more bullet and put it into your head and call it a life.
But
fantastic.
Not shoot it. Just let a really strong guy just push it.
Very
right
slowly
forehead.
Push it into your head. And then the other part of this story I found interesting is the reason they got this guy is they lifted a print that was at the schoolyard, and that was in a database, and they went and got the guy who matched a print. Don't we love that?
Yes, we do.
Because here's what we have. We have three dead people and then one person that has a bullet in their head. It might take a while to find this guy, except for we go get the print, we match it up to the database. That's right, all you freaked out pussies out there that are scared of the government and the man. They want some DNA. They want a fingerprint. They want so they can get this guy off the street. That's their job. That's what they're interested in. I don't think they're evil. Give everyone some DNA sampling. Give everyone a fingerprint. And the next crime that happens, go right up to the person that left the DNA and the fingerprint. And if you're worried about being prosecuted or persecuted and falsely imprisoned, how about all the guys that are in prison right now because they didn't have the DNA stuff and they went and got the wrong guy?
That's right.
How about the 19-year-old black guy du jour who would just be locked up based on the testimony from someone who has a bullet still lodged in their head? Yeah, it was that black guy.
I'm pretty sure.
And now you got another 19-year-old black kid in jail, didn't do anything, and the real guy's out shooting more people. I like the fingerprints. I like the DNA. It's satisfying.
What do you think about the DNA swabbing at birth?
Fine.
Yep.
Don't care.
It's fine.
Don't care. And look, y'all.
Mm.
The government knows who you are. They give you a number. It's called a social security number. Yeah. It gets assigned to you at birth. No, they don't tattoo it in your forehead, but they may as well. That's your number. Bonducci's checking himself right now.
I'm just trying to, I have several names.
That's
and
your
numbers.
Sobriety date.
That's not
social security.
It was.
The point is you have a number already. You have to pay taxes. There's nothing. Here's what I can't do. I can't go, I'm going to take a few years off from paying taxes. No, they have my number. They'll come get me.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. They already have it. Why not give them one more number, the number that lets them find the criminals?
I'm with you. I don't think you're going to find an argument in this room. And I'm weird about stuff like that. I don't always think the way you would think. I would think.
Right.
I get worried about giving up certain rights, even if it does help save people. I do think, like Thomas Jefferson, the seeds to our own destruction are sown into the Constitution. Too much freedom can be a dangerous thing. But I do agree, what's the danger of swabbing a little baby? It's never done anything wrong, and if it does, we're going to know. I happen to think that's fine.
Don't have a problem with it either, and I do have a problem with guys who shoot four people in the head walking around free. Thankfully, they got this guy.
Yeah, there's going to be a formal announcement later in the day. And again, they are saying only that he's a juvenile. His fingerprints were found on a bottle at the scene. Therefore, I assume he's already been in the system.
Mm-hmm.
So he's likely to have priors.
Yeah, juvenile.
Yeah. Well, so were the victims in this case, 18 to 20.
Mm.
So on to a crime of a much different nature.
Shouldn't have the word Jew in it.
juvenile?
We just did that. Yeah, definitely not a Jew, but
can
I do the definitely not a Jew math on this one?
You never hear that on To Catch a Predator? You put the Jew in juvenile? You never hear it.
No.
I'll tell you what, I like to defend my own people, but remember on To Catch a Predator when that rabbi was caught in a web?
My favorite line on the show. Silly rabbi, kids are for tricks. That was my favorite line ever added on the show.
Well, on to as I said, a crime of a far different and lesser nature by orders of magnitude. Although I'm sure her neighbors were annoyed. A woman named Diane Duffin of Leeds in London, she took to a song. And I don't know if this has happened to you guys, but she could only play the same song over and over and over again. It was so extreme that she was pretty much playing the song 24 hours a day in her apartment for 8 months. For 8 months straight, her neighbors had to listen to this.
9 to 5?
Yes. 9 to 5, 24/7.
That's a lot of numbers.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life.
I do like Dolly Parton. I like this song. But
9 to 5 is good, but not 24/7.
That's right. So the neighbors kept complaining to the apartment building's management. They didn't do anything. So eventually the neighbors went to the Leeds City Council.
This has to be especially annoying to folks who live in England.
You think?
I mean, like, I'm just from Los Angeles, and I'm sort of annoyed. Imagine if you're from England. You're speaking the Queen's English, and you got to hear this.
Well, the police raided, and they confiscated her Dolly Parton CD. Now,
they took Dolly Parton?
They took the CD away. They just took it.
This is news out of Europe. Out of here, it's... 15-year-old shoots 4 people in the back of the head.
Right.
There, it's a police bust in and confiscate Dolly Parton CD.
That's right.
Better place.
Well, she's facing charges for breaking noise ordinances.
Oh, boy. We'll follow this one closely. Must be gripping the nation over there, huh?
I would like to inquire as to what it was about this song that she had to hear it for 8 months.
When you're nuts... You know, we ask a lot of questions to people that are nuts, and the answer is I'm nuts.
Right. Yeah. That's the whole
we
answer.
Ask why to people that are nuts all the time. Turns out they're just nuts. That's why. That's a blanket answer. Why did you take a 16-penny framing nailer and put it on your forehead? Why did you worship that tortilla that had baby Jesus's head burnt into it?
I'm explosive.
Why are you listening to a theme track from an 80s movie over and over again? I'm nuts is the answer to all of life's riddles. Yes.
Why is a man suing 1-800-Flowers for $1 million? And you two may even think he has a legitimate case.
I'm guessing somebody has a girlfriend and somebody has a wife.
That's right.
And somebody mixed them up.
Did you really just guess that fast?
Yes.
Here's what happened.
Oh, by the way, whether it's me knowing it's 9 to 5 2 seconds into the song or whatever it is, I'm not some J.O. who knows it's 9 to 5 and then pretends like I'm guessing very quickly on the radio.
No, but I'd never suspect to do that.
I'm a J.O.
who
knows it's that song and then talks about what a genius he is 5 minutes late.
At the 9 o'clock hour, I'm going to request that she does the story again. And when it goes, I'm going to go, 9 to 5, Dolly Parton.
Okay.
Even before you do.
Done and done.
I have no idea what Teresa's stories are or what the specifics of them are.
I purposely left the name of the song out because I like to see how fast you can name it. Okay, so on to this 1-800-Flower story. A guy named Leroy Green of Missouri City, Texas, southwest of Houston, was having an affair and he wanted to send his mistress a dozen red roses and a stuffed animal.
Definitely not a Jew.
He decided, my dad's middle name is Leroy. He decided, I know. And I don't know what happened.
I know, and the green part's kind of confusing.
I know, Leroy Green. I mean, it could be. It's a confusing one. This guy decided he was going to use 1-800-Flowers to send these roses and the stuffy to his mistress. And he called him up and he said, listen, let's keep this whole thing between ourselves and let's not send the receipt to my home or office. He thought they had an understanding. But 1-800-Flowers ignored him. And a few months later, they sent a thank you card to his home. His wife found the card. She called 1-800-Flowers to ask who got the roses and the stuffed animal because it sure as hell was not her. They gladly faxed her Leroy's order. And she found the stuff had gone to another woman along with a note reading, quote, just wanted to say I love you and you mean the world to me, Leroy.
Oh, bad times.
Divorce was filed. And now he's suing for $1 million in damages for their breach of contract, which outed him as an adulterer.
He should. He has a point. Now, wait, you know.
Kind of does.
I don't even know if there's sponsors on any show on the station. I don't believe they are. But ProFlowers actually has a thing where you can check adulterer right next
right
to it.
There.
And they'll make sure the flowers never go to your home. So I say go to ProFlowers.com every time.
Yeah, it's one of these things where, well, the guy did sort of start it by stepping out on his wife.
Right. Yeah.
ProFlowers didn't cause him to cheat. To me, they crossed the line when they sent the invoice back to her.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff happens all the time. I have a credit card address, which is different from my home address, and stuff will always get sent to the credit card address, no matter how clearly or how many times you specify, send it to this address, not that address. And the thing that it's turned our society into, like we were talking about a few days ago, is you get burned a couple of times, and now you talk to everyone like they're retarded.
Mm-hmm.
So if I ever order anything over the computer with the credit card, I go, they go, billing address, and I go, Van Nuys, California, and they go, mailing address, and I go, and then I go, it's a different address, okay? Do not send it to the billing address. Send it to the mailing. And they go, yeah, yeah, I heard you. And I go, no, no.
No, no.
Listen to me. We're so, because you get burned and you don't know, like, people, you know what people need? You know how there's, like, security levels and passes and degrees.
Right.
I mean, we have ways of knowing, hey, this guy's not just some bumpkin who fell off the cabbage patch. He has a high level security degree, or he has the word doctor in front of his name. You know who you're dealing with versus just your general idiot who you have to deal with on the street. We need one of those for human beings where we can just tell what level you're at. Because if you tell me you're level 9.5 plus, I will not do the super condescending repeat after me thing that I do with the guy in the drive-thru who's a 2.2.
I think it should be like a turkey thermometer. You know, they pop out, you know, when that's done. Well, if its full length is 6 inches and that makes you completely retarded and you can't get anything right, and mine's popping out an inch and a half, you can say, okay, don't send the receipt for the flowers to my house. My wife lives there. I've got it immediately.
Right.
You got a 6-inch tube sticking out of your forehead because you've reached that level of idiocy. You get to explain them like a tard. You're right. They should be marked in some way.
All right. So here's what we figured out. Swab for DNA.
Right.
Yep.
And turkey thermometer installed in forehead.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
We are so cutting edge.
That's right.
There's a lot of healing today and a lot of progress. Now, I don't know what you'd want to do about this young woman. You know, American Idol is conducting its auditions now as we speak all over the country. They were just in Texas Stadium in Dallas. 3,500 wannabe singers showed up there trying to get on American Idol.
Just in Dallas.
Just in that one
city. Do that times 30 cities.
Now, a young woman showed up there, 9 months pregnant, 20-year-old woman named Antoria. She
definitely not a Jew.
Ready.
Keep a listening. Now, I don't know anything about her ethnic background. I really truly don't.
No, you can't judge.
I truly don't.
There's no way to know in advance. You'd have to see her.
But she wanted to sing. She just wanted to sing. Even though she was 9 months pregnant, she made her way to the front of the line, which had to take hours. She went into the audition room, and then shaking and holding her belly.
Something
through
from Yentl or Fiddler on the Roof.
I think she's saying,
if I was a rich
Papa, bitch. Can you hear me? So she was shaking and holding her belly because she was having contractions. And then she began singing and going into labor.
Yeah.
So they called an ambulance and they gave her a seat. But when it got there, she said, I'm not leaving here until you let me finish my audition. Only after being told that she was still in the running did she finally agree to go to the hospital. She had a boy, by the way, and she named him
Simon.
Oh, no.
Brian.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I know the name.
Jameel LeBaron Idol McCowan.
McCowan's
an Irish name.
I'm just saying, all you a-holes out there say the stereotypes aren't true. Why do we start laughing when we know?
Now, I'm assuming this means that Antoria made it to Hollywood, but
Antoria, what's the kid's name one more time?
Jameel LeBaron, Idol McCowan.
Good
Jameel
times.
LeBaron, Idol McCowan is, you know, doing well. Congratulations to the mom.
She's going to now leave the infant and head out to Hollywood to pursue a career.
Well, I assume that she's moving forward to Hollywood, and I'm sure this will be featured heavily when Idol next season comes out because they've filmed all of this.
She's a great big fat.
Well, she was 9 months pregnant. I assume she was on the great big fat side. So now what about this little baby, Jameel LeBaron, Idol?
Mm-hmm.
He'll always know that his mom
shot those kids in New Jersey.
No. Hello, I think no. That's not.
I'm gonna check into that.
He'll always know that his mom valued a televised singing competition over his safety.
That's
every
right.
time he writes his name,
it's called priorities. So.
Yes. You know what? I would not hold that against her. I was doing my very first Tonight Show ever, and I was 40, maybe more. I've been waiting my whole life to do the Tonight Show. I wanted to do it with Carson, but I never got the chance. And I was on the set, and the phone rings, and it's Cedars-Sinai Hospital, and Gretchen's gone into labor. And they give the phone to Gretchen, and I said, I'm on my way, honey. And she said, you don't go anywhere. And I said, what? She said, if you don't think I know you well enough to know that every time you look at this kid after today, you're going to think, you're that little bastard that cost me my shot on The Tonight Show.
Mm.
And I said, you're right. I'll stay here.
Now
I'll be done the second the show's over.
This is Dante.
Yeah.
And you're doing the Tonight... You've never done the Tonight
never
Show.
Never done the Tonight Show before.
5 years ago.
All those, you know, I mean, what about the old Partridge Family thing and stuff?
When you were a kid?
Never did. They had David Cassidy, Shirley Jones. They went with the Academy Award winner and the rock star, not the 12-year-old.
Didn't go with the right. kids.
Nope.
Jesus,
nope.
I'm surprised. What about Madden? Dave Madden, the...
Dave Madden, you know, there weren't as many, you know, there weren't as many outlets. I have now since done them all way into the wee hours.
Right.
But the Partridge Family never did any.
People
I did, like...
I'm talking about Reuben Kincaid, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all they had. There's like three shows, and either you were a big star and you did them, or you weren't and you didn't. I mean, it was like every night was like, hey, it's John Wayne and Jimmy Stewart.
Right.
Now it's, hey, that guy from the Discovery Channel.
Yeah.
What's his name?
It's yeah. Ty Pennington.
Here's the thing. So, but now five years ago or 6 years ago, Dante's six, right?
Yeah.
What show were you then doing? Because that was before Breaking Bonaducci.
Really, do you really have to know?
Mm-hmm.
I hate you. I don't know that I was doing any show. It was... I couldn't have just said I was on the Tonight Show. You couldn't have had a
comment. You know, I probably shouldn't have. I'm not trying to out you, but I'm. If
you're totally about
if
to out
not
me.
Doing it for all those years, and then this is pre-Bonaducci, then what... Why did the phone ring?
Because... Survivor was really hot, and they did a show called Hollywood Survivor, and it was me, Gary Coleman, and the Beaver, and Florence Henderson, also known as the Beaver, and many other Hollywood legends slash has-been, and we would do things. See, because then I could have just gone on to say, matter of fact, since then I've done the Tonight Show seven times. That's how much they like me. But what happened is I kept winning the competition and never got voted off.
I remember that.
Of course you do.
I do remember that.
And I remember Gary Coleman ate a worm before I did, so he won that night. But they didn't bite me off.
Are you okay?
So we wrestled. I wrestled the Beaver in mud to try and find a sign that said, I'm safe. And I was wrestling the Beaver in the mud, and I didn't find the sign, and they voted me. Well, I didn't have immunity, and we took the vote for who goes home, and I voted for myself with an arrow pointing up. And Jay said, why would you vote yourself off the Tonight Show? And I said, because I'm 40, and I'm wrestling the Beaver in mud, and I want to go home.
Wow. That breaks my heart. Come here, buddy. Give Teresa a hug.
Thank you.
That was beautiful. I'm Teresa Lynn, Idol, Adam Carolla Show, Strasser, and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. Do you CNN?
You know, next time, you could have... When I said, wow, that was 3 years before Breaking Bonaducci. Why the hell did they have you on? I would have accepted Jay had a gut feeling.
Yeah.
Really?
He knew there was a successful cable show for me just around the corner.
Yeah.
He decided to pre-book me.
You said yourself, Bonaducci brings it.
I do remember, oh though, God. I do remember that whole Idol. I mean, I'm sorry, Survivor. Yeah,
Gary Coleman ended up in the hospital because whatever he ate, he swallowed in like one bite and it stayed alive and started to burrow into his lung or something bizarre.
Good times.
No, a different show entirely.
Yeah, wrong short black kid. We need to take ourselves a break. Lynn and Alex, the Gossip Queens, are on their way. But before we get to those two friends, we're going to do a little Mr. Brightside.
Yay.
That's right. 866-901-ADAM. You call up. You tell me. Now, I'm serious about this. You're going to tell me what's gone wrong in your life. Divorce. Someone's cheated on you. You didn't pass the bar.
You
whatever.
You wrestled the beaver at 40.
You lost to the beeve. Whatever it is. And I will make you feel better about it. When we're done with our little exchange, you will feel better about it. 866-901-AM. Mr. Brightside next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. It's time for Mr. Brightside.
Let me put a happy spin on whatever tragedy is coming to your life.
I had a one-night stand a couple weeks ago, and I got herpes.
You wouldn't have got the herpes if you didn't get laid. If you got herpes because a guy kicked you in the nuts when you're getting off the subway, that would be horrible. But you got herpes because vagina was on your pepe. I say a small price to pay for getting laid.
Call 866-901-ADAM and let the Ace Man show you the light on the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. 866-901-ADAM. Lynn and Alex coming in next. The world's gayest gossips.
Yeah, and wonderful. Some of my favorite people.
I have a new goal for Lynn and Alex.
Okay.
To be gayer? Forget it.
I don't know which one the top is and which one the bottom is, but we find out, and that becomes the new name for top and bottom. Ah. Are you a Lynn or are you an Alex?
Oh, that's great. Like, will you give me a Lewinsky? Everybody knows what you're talking about. That's brilliant, man.
Yeah, in football, they have different names for different players on the defense. I don't know why, but the inside linebackers like Mike and the outside linebackers Baker, and there's Hogg and Stud. Those are the tackles. You know, top, Lynn, bottom, Alex, or vice versa. Whatever it is, we figure it out.
What?
And 100 years from now, when my gay grandkids are at Mr. Pfister with Gay Bill's, the board ops grandkids, and they run into each other, we'll make sure two Lynns don't go home together. You know what I'm saying?
We have to do one thing, though, because I was just discussing the other day that if I were gay, because I dress so gay and I do so much gay stuff, aside from actually have sex with guys, that if I were gay, I'd just be over-the-top flaming gay.
Oh,
so I would be a top
already.
And
yeah.
Or a bottom. I would not, differentiate. I would just deliver the goods.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do if you're both? What are you called? Lynn or an Alex? Now you got to combine them in some way?
It's a balance? It's called ambidextrous.
Or ambidextrous.
Ambidextrous. That's what it is.
Thank
That's
you.
Right. All right. What do we got here? A little intro? Yeah.
Got problems? Need cheering up? Talk to Mr. Brightside, Adam Carolla.
Just put on a happy.
Let's speak to Eric from one of the many Salems we're in on. Eric?
Yes, sir.
What's the dilemma, my friend?
Hey, man, I got a 16-year-old who's a pain in the butt and can't keep him in school. The cops already said I can't take him to the woods and beat his butt because I tried that once and... You know, they just said, you can't do that. That's all. They slapped me on the hand. They said,
out of control.
How do you reprimand a kid nowadays?
Out of control 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Is there anything the child likes?
Girls.
Mm-hmm. And nothing else.
Not really. Hey, Dad, can we take the skis out today? I got a girl coming over.
Mm-hmm. So. I'm guessing jet skis?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know my white trash. Skis would be snow skiing, and that wouldn't be something white trash would do, ironically, done on a white surface. But skis, jet skis. All right, so listen, first off, Eric, it's your fault for breeding. But secondly, let me put things into perspective. First, a piece of advice. You need to keep this kid alive and out of jail for about 3 or 4 years, and eventually they'll calm down. guys get this surge of testosterone delivered somewhere around 15, and we don't know what to do with it. Later on, we learn our own strength, and we get it under control. We stop trying to F everything that moves, and we stop trying to punch everything that's also trying to F everything that moves. Because basically, when you get that surge of testosterone, it is a division that separates the world into two halves. There's the half you want to F and the half you want to punch because they'd like to F that half too, and you'd like to get to that half before they do, thus punching them. You need to keep him in one piece because you will do something stupid behind the wheel of a car or a jet ski, or even worse, take a jet ski out on the freeway and kill yourself. That's what happened to my kid. Brother, don't go there. Point is, keep him in one piece, and he'll turn it around. And secondly, anybody's feeling bad about their kids, feeling bad as a parent, feeling bad about the report card with the C minuses and the Ds. Remember the four kids that just got shot in the back of the head in New Jersey a few days ago? Think how their parents feel. So you're looking at a report card, and it's got an F on it. You feel bad. Think about their parents. He brings his car home, and it's got a dent in the fender. You're yelling at him. Think about those parents. They would drop to their knees and thank their maker for the chance to yell at their kids one more time for one more F on a report card. Put things in perspective. That's what I'm here for. All right. Let's talk to Tori from Riverside. Tori?
I need you to put a good spin on that. I have a brand new husband who's probably cheating. Hayden's around some chick, doesn't have sex with me, and completely ignores me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how long have you been married?
A year and a half.
Year and a half. And how old are you, Tori?
45.
So you've loved and lost before?
Yes.
Is this your third marriage?
Second
marriage. Yep. All right. And do you have kids?
No.
No kids?
Nope.
You're sterile.
Baggage.
What happened? Something wrong with your tubes?
Chose not to
by putting an M80 in your fallopian tubing at 19? Why don't you have kids? There's a reason why you don't have kids.
I'm selfish and wanted to have fun.
Lose the weight,
chubby. I was thinking she listens to the Corolla show and knows when you say you should not breed that you were talking right to her.
Really? Yeah. So you're capable of being impregnated, yet you've never had children?
Absolutely.
All right.
Hey,
and
look, you fat pig.
Your husband does not want to have sex with you, your new husband.
Yep.
Why, quickly, before I start making you feel better about your lot in life, why did you marry a guy who you must have known wasn't interested and may have been seeing somebody else? Why tie the knot with this guy?
Man, I've been with him 3 years and just kind of thought it's time.
Mm-hmm. And what makes you think he's seeing somebody else?
Doesn't communicate with me anymore. Doesn't have sex with me. I don't know what's going on in his mind anymore. I don't know where he's at in his spare time.
Mm-hmm. So you have a feeling, but you're not sure he's cheating.
Well, I haven't seen him doing it, but my woman's intuition is, yeah, it's going off.
All right. So here's the bright side of this, and you can probably salvage this relationship. I would suggest talking to him. Here's the two things you don't want to do. You don't want to get divorced for the first time. I assume it gets, just like killing, it gets much easier. Actually, comes a point when you look forward to it at a certain stage in life. A, you don't want to get divorced for the first time. And B, you don't want to have a bunch of little kids running around who you have to explain, mommy and daddy love you very much. They would just like to see each other's corpse rotting on anthills covered with goddamn honey.
Right.
Because daddy thought he'd have someone who sat people over at the Denny's rather than someone who loved him very dearly. Raised his children. You understand? You don't have to have that conversation. The only guy who needs to know you got divorced was the guy who's humping somebody else, and I'm sure it would be a relief to him. So, A, you've already been divorced once. It just gets easier. B, who cares about the feelings of someone who is stepping out, not communicating with you anyway? If you get divorced, who cares? No kids. But if not, then you don't get divorced. Either way, you need to talk to this guy and open a line of communication to him, or just go get divorced. And the beauty is 45 is the new 25. Yes? So, Tori, you're a cougar.
Yeah, baby.
And Tori, it doesn't sound like you're madly in love with this guy.
Well, I thought I was, but, you know, I'm at that age where I'm raring to go, and hello.
Mm-hmm. Well, you go find yourself a nice frat guy and hop on top of him. Your troubles will melt away, I guarantee you. Let's see. Drunken husband. Oh, here's one. I like this one because it's general. Wait a minute. I got to hit the other line here. Janet?
Yeah, hi.
What's happening, baby?
I'm having a really hard time. I'm failing at everything in life.
Oh, Janet, you sound so upset. Are you okay?
I'm very upset.
I don't want to make you more upset, but I would argue that you're excelling at failing.
What about that?
Huh?
Yeah.
That's not everything.
You're great at failing.
There's one thing you have an amazing aptitude for. Janet, what do you do? How old are you? Give me some specifics, and then I'm coming out there and giving you a hug.
Well, I'm 35.
Mm-hmm.
And I still live with my parents.
Uh-oh.
All right.
And before radial math, I weighed probably 190.
Uh-huh. So what's that, Adam?
Well, we've spoken before, have we not, Janet?
Yes, we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gained weight since then.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a collection of cats?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. How many?
300
pounds.
300-pound cat. She wants something that makes her look petite.
Janet, do you work?
Yes, I do.
Something with the schools or driving. What do you do?
I'm sorry?
What do you do? I remember you speaking to you some months back.
I actually have a different job now than I had then. I do data entry.
What was your other job?
I was a receptionist.
Mm-hmm. All right, so living at home, been depressed your whole life?
Yeah.
What does it matter? Were you molested?
Yeah.
Who molested you?
A friend of my mom.
Friend of your mom?
Yeah.
All right, hold on a second.
I hate that man.
I do too, and this is why I want these guys not only put away, I want them dismembered.
Yeah, me too.
Because, as I've said many times, molestation is the gift that keeps giving.
Yeah.
Right. It's really like, it's why I like getting the beer of the month, or the nuts of the month, or the bacon of the month. Every month you get a new gift. It's like molestation of the month club. You get a gift for the rest of your life. Right. Oh, sure, this guy got his filthy paws on you when you were 9. Now you're 35. You're living with a 300-pound cat at your parents' house. Now, the only justice that comes in molestation is your mom, who thought it'd be a great idea to bring the molestator guy into the house. She gets to live with your fat, depressed ass for the rest of your life because she let the guy into the house, thus creating this mess that will never leave because of the damage that was done. Janet, I'm going to empower you, baby doll.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give you a piece of advice I gave to myself many, many times, and I no longer have to do it. Eventually, you don't have to do it anymore. You feel broken. You feel like you'll never be right again. You feel like a shame. You feel shamed. You feel like you're victimized. You feel whatever you feel. Okay.
I always feel like a victim. Always.
You always feel like a victim. And listen, there's a lot of people that will try to get you to feel differently about yourself. I'm not going to try to get you to do that. That's very difficult. Someone who feels ugly will always feel ugly. Someone who feels like a victim will always feel like a victim. I'm not going to try to wrestle that away from you. That's in you. You know, you ever see this? Every once in a while, somebody tries to pull a tree back or something, or keep a tree out of the way by putting a rope or something around it.
Sure.
But then 10 years later, the tree is grown around that rope. You ain't getting that rope out.
No.
That's what that is. That's what being a victim is to you. I'm not going to try to surgically remove that from you.
It's the remote control and a fat lady's flat.
That's right. Not going anywhere. Janet, here's what I want you to do, and here's what I want everyone to do. Just act differently. Now, it sounds overly simplistic, but just dig what I'm saying for a second. I never felt like a winner. I never felt like a motivated person. I never felt like the person that did whatever. And I knew in my heart of hearts, I wasn't. I knew where I came from. I knew what my upbringing was. I knew what I saw when I looked into the mirror.
How would I know that?
At a certain point, I just decided to start acting differently. That would be my little secret. The world would never know it. The world would only see a guy who was exercising, who was eating right, who was working hard, who didn't have an old car rusting out on the lawn, who wasn't walking around looking disheveled, although I'd have trouble making an argument for myself today.
Now you're eccentric because you have dough.
Now I have dough, and I'm eccentric. That's right. I did not let the world see what it was. I acted as if. That's all I did. It was an act. It's a facade. Just act sane. Just act motivated. Just act educated. Just act, and eventually you will become that, or it becomes academic. That's just the person you are. You're just the person who takes care of business. You're just the person who exercises. You're just the person who gets out of bed in the morning. You're just the person who crosses the T's and dots the I's. You're just the person who, when he says he'll be there at 6 a.m., is there at 5:59. You become that person. Inside of you is a child that's weeping, who feels like a victim, who's a molestation victim. The outside world just sees that, and that's all we care about. You'll get paid based on that. You'll get relationships based on that. You'll get everything just based on being the person that you want us to believe you are. So, Janet, thank you.
Thank you, Adam.
From this day forth, baby doll, you get to be the injured, broken child deep inside, but I, as the outside world, don't get to see that. I get to see the woman who's jogging. I get to see the woman who's repainting the front of the house. I get to see the woman who looks put together. I get to see the woman who's going to work. I get to see the woman who's enjoying the movies. I get to see the person that's put together. Look, there's not a human being that doesn't feel broken to some degree. All those people you think are together, oh, man, do they have a life. Oh, look at the Beckhams over there. Look, they have their insecurities. They have their arguments. They have their everything. They're just like everyone else's. They do a great job of bearing that and pushing forward.
You know, I don't usually bring it upon myself to rate Corolla's Mr. Brightside. It's not my job or my place. But can I just say that AA, who get around a lot, but they've helped millions of people get sober. One of their biggest slogans is "Fake it till you make it."
Mm-hmm.
Just, you don't believe you're going to make it? Just fake it today. Just fake your sober. And when I was getting baptized a few years back, I went up to my preacher, and I said, I don't believe all of it. I'm not positive I believe all of it. And he looked at me, I thought he was going to throw me out of church, and he said, fake it. I said, what? He said, any time that you're in doubt of what to do, pretend you're a good Christian and do the good Christian thing, even if you don't think it's right, just fake it. And I thought, well, that's a preacher. And the phrase is fake it till you make it. And pretty soon you're behaving like that guy. I thought that was some of the soundest advice you've ever given.
Well, thank you. Look, either you are that person and become that person, or you never feel like that person. You just lead that person's life.
Right. Absolutely.
Either way, you're doing pretty good. I have a 12-step group I'm involved with whose slogan is gas, grass, or ass. Nobody rides for free.
I feel better.
We knew you would.
Put on a happy face.
Oh, poor Janet. I remember her from about a year ago
really
calling in.
She's really broken down today.
I know, and it becomes a way of life. All right. Just fake it, Janet. Someone who never fakes it, because it's really physically impossible for these guys to do that. Hard to fake it when you're gay. Alex and Lynn, you remember them from
Amazing Race.
And now, I would call them a rookie of the year in the gay gossip scene.
Oh, yeah, they're coming on strong.
Coming on strong. We'll talk to them about what's going on in Hollywood next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. It's time for a little celebrity gossip.
I mean, let's get real.
With Lynn and Alex.
I am the lizard queen.
America's favorite gay couple.
Yeah, gays!
Ooh, I'm getting all hot.
Tingly.
visit laragmag.com.
Oh, my God.
Lynn and Alex are on the Adam Carolla Show.
I know you guys claim to be ambidextry ass, but if we could go ahead and establish a top and a bottom, we could quickly then get this movement underway.
Are you asking me who the top and who the bottom is?
We like to call ourselves versatile.
I'm just saying, if you'll commit, to one side or the other, we could get the movement underway where bottoms become a Lynn and tops become an Alex.
Oh my God!
Wow. You just assume I'm the bottom. I'm more statuesque. I'm bigger.
I'm the
taller.
Top. Mm-hmm.
You're the top.
Okay, the top.
We'll keep it that way. Power top.
I'm the top.
All right, so Alex is now a top.
God, yes, so early for that.
And everyone listening to the radio show knows.
Oh, including my parents.
I'm just saying, God willing, 5 years from now, I'm going to walk in a gay bar and I'm going to say, you Lynn or Alex, yes. And they'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
We started a new thing.
But for gay guys, it's so silly, but it's almost a sense of pride if you're the top.
Sure.
Because then you're more the man. And I'm like, dude, you are gay. Whether you are the top or the bottom, you're still sleeping with the guy.
Okay. Yeah, you're missing out. Like,
by
let's
the way,
get real, people.
I disagree completely.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I do, and I will tell you why.
Please do so.
She's going to hate this. Uh-oh. I have a new girlfriend who I have recently talked into doing a certain act.
The one we met?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Nice. School teacher girl.
Yeah. Now I can picture it.
Let's pray her kids are listening.
Can my eyes can I tell?
She has kids to all her students?
Yes.
This all makes me laugh if her students listen. I love that. That kills. Okay. I recently talked her into said act.
Yes.
Right. Dude. Oh. The expression, take it like a man, comes from being able to do that.
Yeah.
I mean.
Good times.
Yikes.
It's a manly thing.
You gotta be tough.
You gotta go slow.
You gotta be tough or you gotta be drunk.
You gotta go slow.
Yeah. I mean, is that
I gotta be drunk and then I can
should
do
you
it.
Just be drunk?
Well,
are there certain
mind.
Are there certain drugs you should be on?
Wow, drugs.
So much.
Wow.
Drugs, you took it there. No, in the gay world, they use poppers.
They use poppers?
Keep it real. They use crystal meth. Oh, there goes my glad invitation.
But you can also be drunk, or if you're sober, you can take it really slow and
deep
just
lots
think
Lamaze.
You guys should speak
yes,
to at-risk youth. That's your real calling.
Yeah.
Forget about this
public
gossip
speaking.
Crap.
Again, I disagree. I think you should speak to youth till they're at risk.
It's much more entertaining.
Well,
that
this
way.
Is a model couple. They've been together a long time.
Yes.
They're very much in love. They work
we
together.
We live together.
Speaking of work, let's get going with the gossip.
Oh, okay.
Where do we
some
start?
Where's
here?
That shovel?
Well, we got some great dirt, but first I want to say that we are going again to the Playboy Mansion on Saturday.
Yes.
2 weeks ago, I never thought I'd make it there, and now I'm going like almost every week. But this is for
not a big gay hangout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't get any action at the Playboy Mansion.
Well, like a vegetarian going to Arby's every Saturday.
Well, we did bring Bill. We got a little action.
Pull the gay board up. No, we're going for Stars in Cars, which is a vintage car show where the stars like Kim Kardashian and Jay Leno, they bring their
Nick Cage.
They bring their cars, and we interview them about their cars. And I just don't understand why you're not going, Adam.
This is the first I've heard of it.
Wow. Well, you're hearing it here.
Because I heard that you have a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
And, you know, speed turns me on.
Well, it also makes things easier for you in the sack as well.
I will go.
Is it Saturday?
It's Saturday at 8:30, and you can still buy a few tickets at elegantcars.com.
I'll be the guy with the nappy hair standing inside the Popemobile.
I love it.
Bookended by two gay guys.
So that's what's coming up with us. But we also heard a great story about Britney Spears losing it at a restaurant last week.
Cool mom.
Can I ask quickly about Britney? Because, you know, if it's not her driving with the lap dog on her lap and no seatbelt, it's her in a hot tub with a frat boy with her top off.
He's a dancer.
Is this all drugs or is she sort of coming undone?
I think it's both. I think it's a combination of her drug use. I think she's heavily medicated, sedatives.
You have to be high on drugs to sleep with an extra.
Yeah, you don't like break down on the floor and start bawling, crying unless you're like wasted. You're coming off your drugs. You know?
Is there no one in her immediate surroundings that can intervene and say, baby, I'm going to get you in a headlock. I'm going to drag you to Montana for 2 months, and we're going to put an end to this.
I think she's trying, but it ain't happening. She's alienating the people who want to help her. Like, when she was at this said restaurant, she was with a group of four people, including, like, her guy of the evening, because now she's almost like a gay guy, a new guy every night.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. What?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so so she's at this restaurant.
Yeah,
and so,
Megan.
Oh, my goodness.
So she says to them, you know, the restaurant comes over and they're like, do you really need your cameras? Is there anything really that scary on it? And she's like, we need to find the camera. She brings in cops. They start having people stand up.
She wanted people to start being arrested until the camera was found.
Guess where the camera was? It was in her car.
In her car.
In her car. Outside of the restaurant.
And then to top it all off, she ate for free for five and left $0 tip.
At least a $500 meal.
That's horrible. I mean, you should, if you're comped a meal, you should leave like a 50% tip.
Totally. I saved way over 20.
Sometimes I do 100%. Well, I've saved the 20%
tip. That's the whole thing about the comped meal. I've had a few. We've all had a few. They're not free because... You get a $60 meal and you leave an $80 tip.
Yeah, you know, you know what else is a bad one? If you have a really nice car or they believe you to be famous and you get out. The last time this happened, I had to go to the Sky Bar. That's not like a thing.
So cheap.
But I get out and they say, oh, Mr. Bonamici, we'll just pull your car over there. And they don't give me a ticket. Meaning when I come out, they're just going to have my car there.
Ooh, $5.
No. Free parking? $20.
Oh, yeah.
They went out of their way to recognize you and your car there.
But you guys are celebrities. Do you expect when something, when they say you have a comp meal, do you expect it to be completely free? Like you will absolutely pay for nothing?
No.
No, I would never, I mean, you never ask for anything comp. Sometimes people do it, and if they do it, you make sure and give you a huge tip. That's basically the policy.
You guys brought this up for me. Remember Sunset One?
One Sunset.
I went there that Saturday night with those Norwegian chicks I was talking about.
We saw on TMZ.
Oh, you saw on TMZ? Cool. Me and four chicks, it was so awesome.
It was weird.
And they say, your dinner has been comped. And I said, okay, but will you charge me for one drink or a glass of water? Charge me $1 so I can charge your tip because I don't have enough cash. I'm going to tip big.
You're a star. You don't bring cash.
Well, she brings me the whole bill, and I see it, and it was $600. Well, there's a bunch of us.
Yeah.
A lot
of booths.
And I went up to the owners when they came by later, and I said, that was great. Thank you so much. Please don't do it again. And they said, oh, don't you? I said, no, I like it here. I'm going to come here. And by my third trip, you're going to say, oh, here comes Bonaducci for his free meal. Well, this was nice of you. Right. Please don't do it again.
Well, we researched a lot. You know, there's a lot of bad celebrity tippers out there. Yeah. We researched a few. Bill Cosby is one. On a bill of $375, he left
$3. What's up with that? Bill, come on, those pudding pops
are paying. Maybe he thought it was 10% of 30.
We've also got Sean Penn in New Orleans, $450 bill, $0 tip.
And he was there with three other people, so not the other people obviously didn't think
Katrina,
either.
Was Katrina when there's hard times there?
I don't know. I would assume it was before. Kirsten Dunst, drunk, smelling, $223 tip. I mean, $223 bill, $0 tip.
Wow. What's up with that, people?
It's an epidemic in Hollywood. Bruce Willis, $450, $30 tip.
Wow. Well, who are good tippers?
I've heard Jim Carrey is one of the best.
Yes. I have a couple quick thoughts on this. Once I did, I've told this story, but I'll tell it again. I did have one of the producers from the Man Show, one of our friends, say, you better be a big tipper. You don't want word to get out that you're not a generous tipper. And I said, au contraire. I would like to hire a blimp and fly it around the city telling everyone I'm a horrible tipper. That way they don't expect much.
Low
because when the word gets out that you're Frank Sinatra and you take an $8 cab ride and you tip the guy $20, he's disappointed.
Yes.
If the word gets out you're a bad tipper and you take an $8 cab ride and you give the guy $10 and tell him to keep the change, he's elated.
Yes.
It's all relative.
Low
expectations. Imagine the pressure of being Sinatra, like in the 60s. You're walking around, every doorman, every guy you pass, every guy who grabs your luggage, you're just going to have to peel off $100 and hand it to the guy.
The most famous tipping story in the world is his, we've said on the show. He went up to the doorman and said, hey, kid, what's the most you've ever been tipped? And he said, $100. And he gave him $200.
Love it.
And then he turned around and he goes, hey, who gave you the $100? And he said, you did last year, Mr. Sinatra. It's a famous story.
Big spender. But you're right.
George Clooney, big tipper.
That's nice.
Oh, that's good, because I was going to say, I can't name a big tipper. I can only name the bad ones.
No, I've heard good things with
George. Well, as somebody who was a waitress many years, you never forget. Like, I remember somebody giving me a $100 bill, and I'll never forget that person's face.
Wow. I'll tell you, because you woke up with it the next morning.
You know what? It was on New Year's, and I had to work New Year's, and I probably looked kind of bummed.
I'll tell you, the best tipper in town is Phil Spector.
Oh, yeah.
That's,
he was a dude, Tana.
That story before that chick went and shot herself back at his castle, he went to Dan Tana's and, correct me if I'm wrong, but basically had like a $30 or $40 tab and left a $500 tab.
Wow.
We would have never known about it, but it's now in the court records. I suggest he did the crime just to get the word out. The coolest thing in the world is 2 hours earlier, you left a $500 tip on a $33 charge.
Or he was just countering the later activities.
I'm a good guy, really.
You're almost exactly right. The bill was $55 and he left a $500 tip.
Wow.
He tips 10,000%.
Nothing compared to his lawyer fees.
It only slightly offsets the alleged murder.
Right. I'm going to take Adam's advice, and I'm just going to say here and now, when I'm really big and famous, I won't tip it.
Oh, yeah, because you tip so big now.
I do also think that a lot of celebrities think that their presence is the tip. I've come into your establishment. I've graced your establishment with my presence. You've got to wait on His Highness, and that's tip enough for you.
Speaking,
just to be in, just to bask in my glory.
Can you get that crazy, really?
I think so.
Like you can go in and think you've done enough, and even if you have enough money to believe that you're, because if you're that big of a star, you're super rich.
You should just pay. Like, I mean, just leave a crazy tip. It'll get out there.
And you know, some celebrities become too famous. Danny, you didn't go to that realm where you become so famous that you get crazy.
Like,
are you sure about that?
Or he was crazy before he got famous.
I went crazy and stopped tipping when I stopped eating for 4 years.
Good diet.
Hey, Nikki. Nikki, you have a tipping story?
Oh, my gosh. I used to work at a steakhouse right in the middle of Beverly Hills, and I waited on celebrity after celebrity after celebrity. Tom Hanks does not tip on his wine, so he'll order a $3,000, $5,000 bottle of wine, and then the food will be like, I don't know, $300. You'll get like a $50 tip.
All right. Oh, blasphemy.
He shouldn't tip $300 or $350 on the wine, but maybe he should tip a $20, right?
It's something.
What's the meal free?
I'm having to tip out on that.
You
on
have to
sales.
Tip out on the total sales.
Yeah.
Your busboy.
So it's like you see Tom Hanks and you're like, don't put him in my station because I'm going to have to pay for his.
Boy, I've always heard of this guy's the nicest guy in the world.
I've heard that too.
Yeah. Who else? Name names.
Okay, I have one. I have another one. Montel Williams is. I don't know if you know this. He is covered from head to toe in tattoos.
I saw him at the peninsula a few weeks ago.
Entire body. He tipped me $500 on a $200 tab.
Go Montel!
And then I have to tell you one more thing. I waited on 50 Cent.
Oh.
Who had to be in his own private room. He took up our private room that seats 10 people. Two people.
Well, avoid those gunshots.
He asked me what a petit filet was.
Didn't really eat filet.
No way.
His whole entire bill was comped. He left me
$20.
They hand it to you in this way, like, that the $20 is special.
Oh, did he slip it into your hand?
Yeah, like, oh, here's your $20.
Now, how much was the bill on the petit filet?
$300.
But you know what the deal is, I think, is that he doesn't handle money. It goes to his account. He doesn't see his bills.
Oh, no, you're totally right. Yeah,
I'm trying now to pay with everything with money. I withdraw from my ATM now. Because I have an accountant who lives in Michigan. I never see any of my bills. They go to him. If I withdraw $200... I scrape it out slowly. If I'm using my Visa, I want five of those shirts right now.
Visa owes me this money.
But he makes millions of dollars from vitamin water alone.
Like, I heard he got $500 million. You hear that, Corolla?
I've seen the commercial. He chugs it and it all comes out of him like he's a rain genie. We need to take a quick break. Lynn and Alex, remember my gay army out there. A Lynn is a top.
Right.
No, I am the top.
Oh, no, wait. Yes, I'm sorry. And Alex is the top, and Lynn is the bottom. All right?
Who's a Lynn? Who's an Alex?
And it's not Marco Polo in the pool. It's Adam Carolla. If we could do those two things.
I am never going to get tired of this.
I would rest easily. All right, we'll be back. Little Jessica Simpson update. Also, little Jessica Alba herpes story from Derek Jeter. What the heck?
Oh, I'm scratchy.
Hold on. We'll be back with that next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Here's another summer safety tip with the Deaf Frat Guy.
I'm Maverick, the Deaf Frat Guy, here to give you just the tip. Pretending to drown may seem like a good way to get a hot lifeguard chick to give you mouth to mouth, but it is not a joking matter. Most lifeguards are dudes, and if they give you CPR, that totally makes you a homo.
Thanks, Mav. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, that so makes you a homo.
Lynn and Alex both here. Again, if you're Alex, you're top. If you're Lynn, you're bottom. Yes. Let's just establish that. God. We were talking tipping a second ago. We got this Jessica Alba story to get to, but Bobby quickly is a limo driver. Bobby? Oh, damn. It's the wrong line again. Let me try.
Bobby, can
hey, Bobby.
You
hear me? Yeah, we're here.
What's the story, Bobby?
Okay. Well, first of all, first of all, we got to give credit where credit is due. I'm a limo driver in L.A., and I did pick up a, last year I did pick up a Mr. Carolla at the airport.
How was that?
And he was arriving with his friend. I don't know if it was Lynn or Alex.
If he wasn't Lynn or an Alex, yeah, good point.
Right.
What is Jimmy?
Upon arriving at his residence, his friend gave me a 20, and I unloaded the luggage, and Mr. Carolla came out with a 20, and I said, no, sir, thank you. He already took care of me. Mr. Carolla said, no, you drove me, too. This is for you. So,
Your dad's a big spender, Mr. Carolla.
Do you remember this ride?
Do you remember this? Yeah. I was probably pretty drunk from a 14-hour flight back in Europe, but yeah.
I tried to impress you because you said you hate L.A. limo drivers, so I had wine in the back for you and some other wine and some...
Oh, yes. Some, yes, I do remember that.
Somewhat. Come on.
Big pile of nose candy.
Yep, that's my boy.
So you were passing him a tutor, not a 20.
That's right. It was rolled up. Yeah. Right. Hey, Bobby, you have a story about another Bobby?
Yeah, Mr. De Niro, the worst tipper. In fact, he's known in our little circle as Robert No De Niro.
Oh, you clever guys, you.
Yeah.
I'm known as A-Hola, by the way.
But, I've heard that, too.
So De Niro doesn't tip.
He does not tip. In fact, what he will do in front of some, in front of his little circle of friends is he will palm, he'll palm 100. So his friends see him with 100, and he'll have maybe a 10 or a 5 inside that 100, and he'll shake your hand, and then he'll pull back the 100, leaving you with the 5 or the 10.
Wow. Oh my God. He is an actor.
That's neat. I mean, it's bad for you, but that's kind of funny.
He's in Studio Friday. I'm going to ask him personally.
No, he's not.
No. Hey, but look.
No, because we get De Niro right after we get Lynn and Alex.
Yeah,
we get
he's De Niro. In the green room. He's in the green room.
There's two reasons why celebrities ought to tip. One is people know who they are, and Bobby will call my radio show and out them on the air. That's number one, number two, and number three. But number four is how you make your money. When I was a carpenter, I got paid by the hour. And when you get paid by the hour and you're getting $13 an hour and you're on some roof in Sylmar rolling out some roofing paper in the middle of August, handing someone $20 is an hour and a half's work for you. And you're on the roof. And the person you're handing the $20 to is often a hot 21-year-old chick with a bad attitude who is working in an air conditioning place where she gets to eat all she wants. And she's dating the guy who manages the bar. And she just made $200 for 4 hours work, whereas you made $100 for 8 hours work. That's hard to tip on. It makes it hard how you made the money.
Right.
But when you went to Japan and got paid $3 million to do a cologne commercial that never gets played in the States, and it took you all of 48 hours. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you, it's essentially winning the lottery. That's why when you win the lottery, you should tip big. When you get paid $8 million like De Niro does for 3 months' work on a movie, You should be tipping your ass off.
I agree. And over and over and over, he's making that millions
yes,
of dollars.
Yes, and by the way, being kind to your fans. Now, I can't wait to get to this Jessica Alba herpes story, but first, ooh. Adam, I have to tell you this because I forgot to.
Oh, good times.
Were you eating lunch at the Ivy last week?
Yes.
Okay, my girlfriend called me so excited
that is
because
clear.
She said, first of all, I said, my boss, Adam Carolla, was at
you
the
are
Ivy.
Such a
no, look, here's what
totally.
Here's what happened.
Yeah.
Here's why I was eating
right
lunch
after
at the
I got
Ivy.
In this fight on Robertson and kicked these three guys' asses.
I'm going to have a very good report when you're done telling me what you were doing at the Ivy.
Yes, let's hear it.
He's gay!
I never go to trendy bistros.
I saw you at Mr. Chow.
What happened?
You are so Nicole Richie.
Good point.
He kept it down.
That's so ghetto.
One of the honchos from New York, CBS New York, was coming out here for a couple of days, wanted to get together, and so picked a place and picked a time. So I got the call, be at the Ivy at noon on Monday, and be at the Ivy I was. I didn't set it up.
Well, first of all, that threw me, but I said, are you sure it was Adam Carolla? She said, yes. This was my best friend, Mitzi, and her sister. Her sister's a huge, huge fan, and she went up to you and said what a fan she was, and you asked her if she wanted a hug. And then you gave her a hug. And she was so Adam, you made her day. She was so excited.
Wow.
I mean, the sister lives in Orange County. She's a mom. You know, she's not in show business. And she was very
pelvis contact.
Wait a minute. I don't get a hug.
Yeah.
I have never gotten a hug.
Not yet.
Then he went up to the valet and said, want a Hummer?
Do you think that's
adorable?
He offered a fan a hug.
That's but it was a real fan.
Star.
I don't think he offers the guy fans hugs.
Yeah, it's all about that pelvic contact.
Interesting. Hey,
When I describe Adam to people, I say he's one of the few people I know who's famous. Who, when he says I'm not really comfortable being famous, means it.
Yeah.
Everybody else I know says I'm not comfortable being famous, flaunts it whenever they get together. I've watched him sneak around a 30-foot red carpet that took me an hour till I hoard myself out to everyone. Sneak around the back so he doesn't. I mean, all I want is to be famous. I'll take the money even second.
To be fair to Bonaducci, it was an hour because it was a half hour the first time he walked the red carpet.
And then he changed outfits.
The second time we changed outfits.
Then I moonwalked back, change outfits.
Danny's one of those celebrities that talks to, like, Singapore online.
I do.
Is this Bangladesh Air? Oh, I love you guys.
On this herpes thing, I've always wondered this. If you're super famous, how do you get your prescription filled?
You get your assistant to do
let
it.
Let me backtrack, because this is an LARagMag.com exclusive.
Hello. LARagMag.
Ooh,
yes.
LARagMag.com exclusive has learned from our source used to work very closely with Jessica Alba, so I'm going to apologize to all the guys in advance right now for ruining your Jessica Alba fantasies, but...
Oh, I'd still do her.
She used to date Mr. Derek Jeter, serial celebrity ladies man.
And he is quite yummy.
Yeah, he is yummy, but he's dated Cameron Diaz, Jessica Biel. She used to date Derek Jeter and got the herpes from him. We know this because our source would have to refill her Valtrex prescription.
Valtrex the one a day, man.
Because she didn't want to fill it under her own name.
Of course. Well, I'm sure she had to. I'm sure she had to have it under her name, but she didn't want to go to the store. So it's terrible, but 70% of herpes are passed on when there's not a breakout.
Wow, so it did research.
Shedding, yes.
Poor girl, we're just doing a service to Hollywood and all the men out there who want to keep themselves sanitary.
Does this mean Cameron Diaz?
Not necessarily.
I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying he has dated everyone from Vanessa Milano or whatever her name is, Cameron Diaz, Jessica Biel, which would mean maybe JT has it, which would mean the world is over.
Bringing
herpes back.
Thanks to Derek Jeter, he's bringing down everybody in Hollywood.
Look at it this way. It's a very... It's a very small, close-knit...
Scratchy.
...community.
Oh, VIP all the way.
And everyone is having sex with everyone's exes.
I need to be in that circle.
I mean, if you did some sort of pyramid or some sort of tree, and you just went from Cameron Diaz or Jessica Biel or whoever it is, even if they weren't even if they didn't get around, I mean, even if they were just your average 20-something-year-old person dated quite a bit, there's tons of cross-pollinization. Everyone's with everyone's ex.
Oh, right, like that doesn't necessarily mean herpes. I mean, I'm bringing herpes back. So, buddy, just call me mister. I'm bringing herpes back. Don't mind that blister.
Just scoot aside.
Two of my very serious girlfriends in life have both had herpes. One I never made love to without protection ever.
Dental dam.
The very first one, she knew when she was going to get an outbreak and would say, no, I don't think now's a good time. And I ever got them.
A sore is a good indicator, not a good time.
No, 70% of herpes is transmitted when there is not an outbreak.
I realize that now, but I'm just saying
it doesn't, vessel
it doesn't necessarily mean these other people have herpes.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I'm just saying, you know, Hollywood starlets out there, be wary of Derek Jeter.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a dirty, dirty.
Dirty boy. Dirty
also, Derek. I should say, having herpes doesn't make you dirty.
No.
It just means you have a virus.
It
just
makes
you
stinky. It makes Derek Jeter dirty.
I'm just saying, if there's a disease that's associated with sleeping with Cameron Diaz and Jessica Biel and Jessica Alba, sign me up.
The disease of wealth.
Yes. I would love to be afflicted with that disease.
Yes, so would lesions of other men.
I would take cancer for that.
I don't think he's that cute, but apparently all of Hollywood thinks he's cute. He must have a huge schlong.
Whoa.
Well, here's why all the people sleep with all the others. You don't have to be attracted to someone. You just have to know that Cameron Diaz thought he was hot enough to sleep with her.
Exactly.
And if you're a chick, that's good enough for you. Guys don't work that way so much. Women do. Okay. Once you establish yourself as the guy who had sex with Paris Hilton or the guy who had sex with Lindsay Lohan, then you get to have sex with everybody because that's the way they work.
Right.
It's like the sex
lottery. Paris Hilton, speaking of another girl who has herpes in Hollywood. Paris Hilton
has herpes.
Very well known Valtrex prescription. And if you want all of the details, you can go to our website, LARagmag.com.
LARagmag.com.
Yeah, it's hard news only, people.
Well, let's go out while we're on herpes top. And again, if you're going out on top,
herpes, Alex.
You're an Alex.
I don't have herpes.
Because then I would, as being a Lynn.
Yeah, Lynn is the bottom. Let's try to make that into the lexicon. Please, people. We'll take ourselves a quick break.
Thank you
for doing the Lord's work, fellas.
Yes, praise Jesus.
Huell Hauser. Not sure if he's a Lynn or an Alex. Huell Hauser.
This is going to be fun.
We will break his game film down next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. It's time to break down the game film from another episode of Road Trip with Huell Hauser.
Caution, horses may bite. You never know what you're going to see on the campus at UC Davis.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
I've always been infatuated with Huell. I've been watching him for 20 years. He's a fixture out here in Southern California.
This is amazing.
We're in parts where you don't have Huell, but you all have your own Huell. Maybe he's on TV. Maybe it's your uncle.
But they're cheap Taiwanese knockoffs of Huell.
They'll never be the real Huell.
Right.
But we all know that guy who's way too excited about nothing and talks to everyone like they're kids. And it's just, you think to yourself, is this an act? Is he parroting somebody, or is he actually this excited by how tortillas are made?
And the picture for Burt Lancaster.
Bucket of rocks.
Please give me him. Let me do a little theater of the mind on this clip. Then we'll get on to him on the campus at UC Davis. He is standing on several acres of sun-scorched earth. He is standing in. Remember, there was Axl Rose video, Guns N' Roses video, and I think it was Slash that was playing the guitar in front of a church.
November Rain.
And the church was basically a church with a dirt lawn and a picket fence and nothing but scorched earth around it. That's the setting. Now, replace the church with a horrible one-bedroom dilapidated house, but same dirt lawn, same dirt street. He's standing in the middle of a dust bowl talking to a guy who's 400 years old, and here's what transpires.
Tell me about all these rocks.
Yeah.
It's rocks that I picked up over a period of years. It's been a few years since I've done it. Wow, this is amazing. You've got little rocks, big rocks. Look at this one.
Sorry.
What is this?
Everybody looks at that one.
You've got coffee cans full of rocks over here.
Let me explain the little rocks and the big rocks.
Please.
Little rocks, size of a medium-sized grape. Big rocks, size of a medium to large-sized grape. There was, you know.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
The difference between a kumquat and a golf ball were the difference between the little rocks. They're all little rocks.
Oh.
Obviously, there were little rocks. There was a 400-year-old man holding them up.
If it was
a big rock, he would have broken in half.
See, I was thinking on the word big. Little, I thought about grape or marble size. But big, I was thinking grapefruit.
No. A jar, a mason jar filled with gravel, and he talked to this guy for half hour.
Of course he did.
Standing in an ashtray. I gotta say, must be nice being Huel, because whenever we do anything, there's that little voice in the back of your head that says, you may have hit a home run last time, Ace Man, but let's see what you do this time at the plate. You better come home with something. Mm. Every time we did one of those man on the street bits, when I was doing the man show, there was always that thing when you were leaving with the crew, you better come back with something. And as soon as you walk through the front door, everyone's going to ask, how'd it go? Did you talk to an old man about gravel for 2 hours? Or did you get something? And there was that pressure.
And he says both.
Huel does not feel that pressure. And if you don't believe me, well, he's taking his next journey to the campus of UC Davis. There's an arboretum there. There are people riding bicycles. There's so much. Let's get started.
What is this all about, this huge, big open area here?
Well, this is the Shields Oak Grove. It's the largest oak collection in the western United States.
So these are all the oaks you're talking about, and the largest?
It's the largest collection of oaks in the western United States, and it's part of a national oak collection.
Wow. So there's something for everybody in this arboretum. Oaks, redwoods, flowers, trees, birds, water.
It's called outside.
Yeah.
It's what happens when you leave your house.
And it's not just a regular outside. It's an arboretum. It wouldn't be if it were missing any of those ingredients.
We got trees and
water,
sky,
air,
earth, bugs. Yes, Huel. It's called being on the planet.
Well. You can see by the confusion.
Well, there
set
must
in.
Be something exceptional that happens at UC Davis.
Oh, yes. He heads to the bike barn and action ensues.
Well, what's the deal here? You do bike repairs for students.
We do. We do about 10,000 repairs a year.
Really?
Makes us one of the biggest, or at least busiest, bicycle repair shops in the country.
And why is this called the bike barn?
The building is a barn, and we fix bikes in it.
It's literally a barn.
Yeah, oh, no. Bikes.
Now, why is that called a Pizza Hut? It's a hut with pizzas in it, Huel. And why is it called the House of Pancakes? Why is it called the Bike Barn? You're standing in front of a barn filled with bikes.
And you're Huel House.
Well, in 1866, Jeremiah Bike first settled this land, Huel. And his wife, her maiden name was named Barn. It's a barn filled with bikes. You're standing in it.
What else goes on in Davis?
I want to know.
Now, this is fun. I've rented me a bike for a couple of hours. I'm getting into the UC Davis bike atmosphere. But if you'll notice, there's nobody else on the road.
I wonder.
I'm biking while the students are all in class. I'm not taking any chances.
Oh. Any chances with what?
Running into students.
I imagine. So Huel, who's an international celebrity, doesn't seem to have any cyclists surrounding him. He's on the road with the bike, and now he takes the bike to the cafeteria. And listen, buckle up.
Yeah.
If you're behind the wheel, buckle up. Huel hits the cafeteria.
Now, I just finished eating fish tacos.
Were they good?
They were great.
Yes.
I had two of them.
Whoa. You had two tacos?
But I understand that I could have had anything here I wanted for $8.
Hold on a second. No Stop way. The tape. There's a concept where you can pay a pre-decided flat fee and go in and eat anything you want. Yeah. I don't buy it.
No, I think Jimmy Buffett invented it, sir.
Yeah.
It's called a Buffett.
Bob Smorgasbord invented it as well. I can pay. Can you imagine being yelled at by a 6'5", 250-pound Huelhauser who just downed two fish tacos? Meanwhile, if you watch the tape, the woman is 4 inches away from her. Her hair is moving. She has bits of cod in her brow. I ate two fish tacos. I am so jealous of him.
Because I think about half of one of those was in your teeth, and now I've got it.
I could have. Hey, cafeteria worker.
Yeah.
So let me get this straight. Mm. For $8.
Mm. Yeah.
I could have had two pizza slices.
Yeah.
Two bowls of soup.
Yeah, correct.
Two beef tacos.
Yes.
Two chicken tacos.
Yes.
A chicken and a beef taco.
Yes.
A chicken.
Yes.
It's so funny when the people, you can hear the people who've made a life out of doing whatever Huell is talking about in his latest adventures, falling asleep, actually being bored by the subject they love most in the middle of Huell's discourse with them.
It's like if Huelhauser came to my house to do a report on, say, me. And I wasn't interested in my own favorite subject.
Is that halfway possible?
Into it, you're like, move it, had it before.
Move it along, Huell. Well, speaking of moving it along, this is Huell. Now I guess he's heading to the Hawk Rehabilitation Center, and they're going to release one out into the wild.
Here we go. Look at this. Can we get a shot of the hawk before he? Oh wow! Oh my gosh! Oh. Boy,
there
what
we
a
go.
Beautiful, beautiful bird.
Yeah,
we don't know what he's going to do when you let go.
Hopefully he'll fly.
All right, we're here to watch. Here we go. Oh, beautiful. He's free.
Hold on. What if you were... Oh, there's more?
There's more.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
He's free.
Okay.
Majestic.
What would happen if you were actually talking to a child?
I had two hawk tacos! Screaming at everybody he meets.
I mean, he's already so... I don't know what you call it. It's not patronizing. He's just... He's very sweet. And,
Yeah, I know. Look, it's hard to be mad at Huell, but if you have two brain cells to rub together, you have to get tired of that giant hillbilly yelling at you about nothing all day long.
That's our tax dollars hard at work.
I don't know how we're going to top this.
Well, we're going to wrap it up is what we're going to do, Huell. Here's him just putting a bow on his trip to UC Davis.
We got some students. We got some ducks. We got the water. We got the trees. All's right with the world. We have had an absolutely wonderful day here at UC Davis on this road trip.
Do you think there's a destination that doesn't make the cut? Do you know what I mean?
Say no,
do you think they're sitting down in the producer's office going, Huell, how about we head out to the Salton Sea? And he's like, not enough happening.
I hate to tell you, but that's not very exciting.
I need to find a joint that jumps. It's got to be popping. It's got to be hip. And now I need action. I mean, is there a destination? Do you think? Yeah, I feel like you could spin a globe around, fire a snot rocket at it, and wherever it landed, even if it was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, we could send Huel to that longitude and latitude, and he could kill an hour talking to a dolphin about fish tacos.
Oh, no, he could talk about looking for a dolphin that didn't show because he wanted to talk about fish tacos and still get away with it.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
A special skill, man.
Well, Huel possesses it. All right. God bless him. Huel Hauser, 20
now
years.
This is fun.
It's still going. T.
Yes.
The news, baby girl. What's coming up in it?
Well, you know the actor Terrence Howard?
Yeah, the guy doesn't tip.
Yes. Well, was he one of the ones that doesn't tip?
Just doing the math.
Well, he did star in Hustle and Flow, and now he has some intriguing advice about feminine hygiene.
Good times.
And you said he didn't tip.
We will just the tip. We'll take a quick break. Back with the news next.
If you can't stand the heat.
Just stop. Stop.
Get out of Huel's kitchen.
I left Tennessee not to have to eat things like this.
Get you on the stove!
That shows how much we all have to learn about food.
This fall on Fox.
This is going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what else is going to be interesting. Teresa Strasser in the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Newark Mayor Cory A. Booker announced today that a 15-year-old boy has been arrested in connection with the shooting there. Three teenagers, well, 18 to 20, dead, and one young woman in stable condition at the hospital.
Shame 2 years after his bar mitzvah he does this.
Shocking. Oh. No. And his haftorah was about not killing.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
His nana, Papa, must be so upset.
Well, yeah. This youth, 15. 15 is younger. We talked about it earlier, and we spoke about him being a juvenile, but 15 is a kid.
All right, so what do you do? I said earlier this person needs to be destroyed because when you rob somebody, get their money, and then put a bullet in the back of all four people's heads, execution style, you need to be put down just like one of those dogs they got from Vic's camp. It's too late for you as a human being, and then you find out the kid's 15. Now what?
Well,
now what do you do with the kid?
Absolutely. I mean, he's...
What's changed?
Well, my over-under was like 17 on the put-down, you know?
Right.
It's tougher to put down a kid who doesn't have a learner's permit yet.
Especially if he was under the influence potentially of an older criminal. Authorities have also obtained a warrant for a 31-year-old man who was charged with murder, robbery, attempted murder, and weapons offenses in the case. Prosecutors are looking for him as well.
Okay, usually Mr. Kroll has the proper answers for all these. I'll give you mine, and then if he disagrees, he can tell you how to go right. I say because the younger criminal was under the influence of an adult criminal, you kill the 15-year-old quickly, and you kill the 31-year-old rather slowly in a meat grinder.
All right.
Okay. If you shoot four people in the head after they've given up the dough?
Well, I'm all for the part where, you know, somebody said that children are our future a few years ago, and we all bought into it.
Yeah, it was Michael friggin' Jackson.
Oh, really?
Children are the future.
I think that was Whitney Houston.
It was a skinny white guy. Either way.
Either way.
The point is, I don't buy that because one kid may be your future. Yes, this kid could cure cancer and AIDS. The other kid could kill your kid when he's in college. Yeah, that could be your kid's future.
I believe that child was their ending. They have no future. That whole family will amount to nothing now.
All right, so let's put the kid down.
Yep.
I'm with
Thank you,
man.
Sir.
Well, Terrence Howard, who you know from the movie Hustle and Flow, Crash, mm-hmm. and other movies,
mm-hmm.
he sang this song, It's Hard Out There for a Pimp. He's got some things to say about women and how we should take care of our privates.
Mm-hmm.
What he's saying is if you're using dry toilet paper when you're done in the bathroom, you are unclean. This is what he told Elle Magazine.
Hold on, that doesn't rhyme.
Yeah.
Is it supposed to?
Oh, I thought it was still part of the song.
Oh, no,
Sorry.
Just an interview he gave to Elle.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
He mm-hmm. said it's a deal breaker if he goes to a woman's house and she has no baby wipes.
Really?
Yes. He says, quote, if you're using dry paper, they aren't washing all of themselves. It's just unclean. So if I go in a woman's house and see the toilet paper there, I'll explain this. And if she doesn't make the adjustment to baby wipes, I'll know she's not completely clean.
One time, Kimmel wiped his ass with one of those Clorox-infused sink wipes.
Oh, no.
Because Kimmel... Kimmel's into cleanliness as well. And they put the same thing in the same package. One of them's for your baby's ass. The other's for getting grime off of soap grime off showers.
Oh, okay.
It's for removing minerals from showers.
Right.
Well, they both find a home on top of the toilet tank.
Right.
Kimmel, who ironically reads a lot when he's on the pot, doesn't read that closely, evidently, grabbed for the one thing that was shiny and white, wiped his ass with it, and ran out like it was on fire 4 minutes later.
How did he fare?
He was fine, but it was the beginning of the end for the relationship. He never quite got past it.
I was stretching for a karate class and going as far out as I could, and then I got the genius idea of rubbing Bengay on the tendons right here by my crotch, which was fine. It felt really good while stretching. And then, of course, I stood up and closed my legs, and my manliness fell in there. I went to the ER screaming to put me out. Please anesthetize me. They wouldn't do it. They just said, hold on,
they
man.
Said
it'll
not
stop
again.
In a couple hours.
The scrotum will absorb.
I couldn't believe it, man, how much. Seriously, you couldn't catch your breath. You're like, no, please.
You get gasoline on your hand and scratch yourself, you will feel a burning down there.
Yeah. No, yes. You girls have no idea how sensitive the boys
idea.
Are.
You have no idea.
No, I do now.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Terrence Howard does not believe in premarital sex.
Then how does he know who's clean and who's not?
Well, he's just looking to see if you have the baby wipes.
Mm-hmm.
To see if you
can
care.
I tell you, though, on the other side, if you have too many products that make you okay, like if I go to a girl's house and we're making out and stuff, she goes, hang on, I'm going to go get a condom. Mm-hmm. She gets up and she gets her own condom from her stash of condoms.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has the baby wipes and then starts lighting the right candles and stuff.
Yeah.
I think this is not this girl's first time to the rodeo. You can be a little too prepared for my liking.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And like some of this would have been a shock to you that I was going to come home from the bar with you and we were going to do it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to see. It's a nice balance, a fine line between sort of good hygiene and hypochondriac whore.
Right, exactly.
Yes. That is a fine line to walk. I'm going to have that talk with my daughter in a few short years. Sweetie Pea? Come up here on Daddy's knee.
I'll bet I get a text from the next five.
Yeah. By the way, when you're sitting on Daddy's knee, let's do it English style, not Western style.
Well, what
conversation number one of being a hypochondriac versus whore?
Yeah, right. You want to perch. You want to actually make contact with said knee.
Right.
Straddle.
Mm-hmm.
Divide there.
Sorry, T.
No problem. Now, there's been a survey by a staffing company, Robert Half International. Almost 87% of workers, basically 9 out of 10 workers, think their boss is funny.
Really?
That means 1 out of 10
don't
does
work
not.
Here.
Yeah.
And I will root them
not
out.
Not even on this floor.
It's interesting. I don't know if people become brainwashed because if you're just working in an accounting office, is your boss that funny?
I think the guy that does the voice of our boss is really funny.
Yeah, the actual boss is. Let me explain what happens. The authority figure.
Yeah.
When you were a kid, you had a school teacher, you had multiple school teachers, and there was the one school teacher that was really funny.
Right.
Oh, Mr. McCarr, that guy is a cut-up. That guy should be a stand-up comedian. Well, he's not funny outside of the classroom. Right. He's funny for a teacher. So when he shows up and says, he says to the all-male class, okay, ladies, we all have a nice big laugh. He's funny because he's an authority. It's like once in a while, a cop pulls you over and he has a decent sense of humor. Yeah. You're like, that guy's hysterical.
Right.
That's the funniest cop ever.
Yeah.
Yes, this is what happens, by the way, in sports. This is what happens when there's one baseball player who's not a self-important prick and actually has a minor sense of humor about his major league self. He becomes the clown prince of baseball. This guy's the funniest cut up in the world. That's what it is. It's authority figures. It's football coaches. It starts off with your teachers, your coaches, your counselors, and now it turns into your boss. Your boss is your coach, is your teacher, is your counselor, and if he has a half a sense of humor, he's hysterical.
Right.
The more you know.
I don't get it.
Okay, when I was a kid, I had the Guinness Book of World Records. Did you have that book?
Yes.
And the Book of Lists, and I love those books. Do you remember the tall guy?
Mm-hmm.
The picture of the world's tallest man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you believe?
The only thing I remember is the two fat guys
on
the scooter and the world's tallest guy. That was my entire education.
Right. Well, that tall guy, I think he's still the tallest guy that's ever been. The guy whose picture you remember from the Guinness Book of World's Records.
That's ever been. He's not still alive, though, is he?
He's not still alive anymore. But currently, everyone has thought up until now that a 57-year-old in Inner Mongolia is the current record holder for world's tallest man. He is...
His head's in Outer Mongolia, though.
That's how tall he is.
His ass is in Inner Mongolia. What his they... head is in Outer. That's how tall this guy is.
When he dies, they're going to make a yurt out of his skull.
I'm going to laugh when I find out what a yurt is.
Yurt. Yurt.
Too. It's what a yurt is. Like a domicile.
It's like a tent.
Right.
All right.
A
his head will be the top, the yurt pole.
There you go.
Right.
All right.
Well,
still not laughing.
That's, and I'm not even the boss.
I just remember the guy's name, Robert Wadlow. That was the tall guy from when I was a kid in there, Illinois.
Yeah, this guy got married, the tall guy from Mongolia.
Absolutely, this guy, and he is 7 feet 8.
Thank you. Now I can sleep tonight.
7 feet 8.95 inches tall, which is really, really tall. But it turns out he's been living a lie. He's not the tallest man alive anymore.
He's wearing pumps.
Yesterday, Guinness announced that they've confirmed there's a guy out there who's actually much, much taller. There's a 37-year-old guy, a former veterinarian. He lives in a rural area in the Ukraine. He's 8'5".
Yeah. No way.
Yeah, which is still 6 inches shorter than Robert Wadlow.
He was 8'11"?
He was the tallest man ever, yep. He died in 1940.
Yeah, there's some sort of thyroid thing where you're basically at some point your body tells itself to quit growing.
Right.
And
yeah.
they have these tumors that never tell them to quit growing. They can sort of work with it. Now, the worst part is you feel bad for the guy's 9 foot tall. He's a freak. And you're a freak if you're 3 foot tall.
Right.
But when you walk through the mall, everyone doesn't point at the ground. You can lose yourself in the crowd. When you're 9 foot tall, you can't. The women that are 8 foot tall. That's tough sledding.
Very.
I'd give it a shot, though.
Would you?
Just to say.
Really?
Better did it with the 8 foot chick.
Better tie a rope around your waist, Bonaducci, so we can get you out.
And other things. Yeah, sure.
No,
yeah.
You have to consider, though, that somebody's weight is going to be commensurate with their height. Now, this guy who's 8'5" weighs 440 pounds.
Dude, I've done it with 5'6" women that weighed over 400. The weight over 250, for real. It's not that bad.
But 400?
Yeah, but she's huge. I bet she's not any bigger than the 5'4" girl that weighed 250.
This gentleman has a palm, just his palm, that measures 12 1/4 inches.
Well, you'd need that.
And he started his growth spurt at 14 after a brain operation stimulated his pituitary gland, which is what you were mentioning. And there have been rumors for a while that he's the tallest guy, but it took Guinness up until now to officially certify this.
Well, good times.
That's right. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Next up, Corey Feldman. Corey has got a new show called The Two Corys. It's Corey Feldman, Corey Haim. You have a history with Corey Feldman, Bonaducci?
Indeed. I actually, may I say now, I have become pretty good friends with him, but I actually pitched a show to VH1 while I was pitching Breaking Bonaducci, and they didn't seem to love it at first. I said, I've got another idea. They said, what? I said, a special called Killing Corey Feldman. But we can only do it once.
It's a one-off.
But we're pals now.
All right, well, you'll be reunited with your beloved Corey, as will all of you, next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser.
You know, I always used to believe that when you threw your money in, it turned into your wish.
Yeah, but you know what? This one right here, this was my dream, my wish. It didn't come true, so I'm taking it back. Taking them all back.
And now, Corey Mouth Feldman on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Corey.
Wow, that was wonderful production there.
That was
very nice.
Was that
very
from nicely Goonies? Done.
It sure was.
I must say this about Goonies. I must be 4 years too old for Goonies. I miss the Goonies bandwagon. Everyone I know between the age of 28 and 40...
Adam, I'm going to stop you right. I'm going to stop you right there.
Yes.
You're never too old for Goonies.
Really?
You know what? It's still true.
You can caress your inner child right about now.
I'm not allowed. It's against my probation.
I'm going to start with my outer. And if I don't fall asleep
whatever it takes,
during
man.
My refractory
whatever
period,
it takes.
I'll
whatever I say,
hair.
Anything about Corey, they bring up Goonies. And I'm one of the also few adults I know who have not seen it. And they act like you've missed a moment of history. Well, there was Christopher Columbus and then America Vespucci and then Goonies.
At least Willy Wonka. And then Goonies, I was somewhere in there.
Good
Jim Dacer.
I'm a huge fan, and still am. We're talking about movies you stop on, no matter how many times you've seen them when you're skipping channels. Lost Boys.
Yeah.
I've seen it 100 times. You were great.
Well, that is a hot topic at the moment.
Lost
that
Boys?
That is certainly a hot topic.
Why is
at the
it
moment.
A hot topic now?
Well, for any of you who have been following the Two Corys show, you know, there's the talk sequel. Of the sequel, which is actually in production very soon. They
really?
Are starting this thing. Mm-hmm. Come hell or high water, Corys or no Corys, they're making this movie.
Will there be one Cory, two Corys, or no Corys?
One Cory, two Cory, three Cory, four. Yeah. I don't know. No, it's well, it's up in the air right now. I can't give anything. I can't give anything solid, but I can say since the episode where you last left us with Cory crying on my shoulder about the fact that he was not invited to be in the show, I actually I held a very solid ground and said I absolutely and adamantly will not make this movie without Corey Haim involved, and they've
so
come back
again, huh?
they've come wow. back to me several times and kind of begged and pleaded and said, you know, we really need you guys in this movie, or they said we want you in this movie, and I said, well, you know, there's not one.
Let me ask
there's not a Feldman
question.
Without a Haim, damn it.
Really?
Let me ask you a very legitimate question then, because I know some of Corey Haim's history. No, I'm going to say something that it was a huge problem for me, so okay. I know it's got to be a huge problem for him. It was a very big problem.
Waking up with me. Girls you don't recognize.
Nah, I'm cool with that. Uh-huh. It was a very big problem for me to get insurance. After Breaking Bondici, nobody would give me insurance to do another television show for a very long time.
Right.
Is it hard to insure?
Well, how long ago was that exactly?
Breaking
I thought that was just like last
months.
Years ago. Well, yeah, wasn't
that? 2 years ago.
Okay.
But for me,
he acts
like
it was like 25
time.
Years ago. You know, back when I did that show, 1963,
we shot it on black and white.
As Andy Griffith
started. I was winding the camera.
Is it a problem to get him insured? Does nobody want to insure him?
Well, I think that may be part of the problem, but I will say that due to the graces of the producers, they seem to have seen the light.
Good.
And, you know, there is a huge uprising amongst the fans. If you look on the blogs and all the websites and stuff, I read yesterday Corey Haim's Lycos search went up 700% in mm-hmm. the last week. My wife's, incidentally, on IMDb went up 300%.
Do you know how hot Corey's wife is? Have you guys ever seen Corey's
wife? Well, hot enough to go up 300%.
Oh, my God.
Where is she this morning?
I saw
she was supposed to be here, but unfortunately she's at home with our three-year-old son who had his birthday yesterday, and he's sleeping, and so she had to be there to, you know, watch him sleep.
She didn't feel like getting up. I've done right. the math.
No, she really wanted to meet you, Adam. Ooh. She knows Danny, and she's not that impressed, but she wanted to meet you, and
I
she said she
her.
Couldn't be here. You did tip her. You
well,
did tip her. That's correct.
Corey Feldman's in studio, by the way. The Two Corys, which is on A&E for season Sunday nights, 10 o'clock.
A&E? That's what it's on?
Yes, baby, yes.
Because I've seen it. I just was skipping the channel. There
quality
you guys
television. Quality.
Right,
yes,
man.
That's
where
right.
Does,
a cut above.
I'm interested in the journey, because you were in this business from the word go, right? You're doing
yes.
commercials
before I could spell go.
Years
correct.
Old. Where are you from? How'd you get started? Who got you into it? How did it go?
Well, Adam, I think I met you right around then, didn't I? Didn't we do Love Lines the first time? I think right around the McDonald's commercial, I believe.
Yeah.
I live here my whole life, mm-hmm. born and raised, Southern California boy. And started at 3 years old. My parents threw me in blindly before I knew what was going on. And distraught and distracted, I moved forward as any good, you know, clown in a monkey suit would.
Now, don't you have all sorts of issues with your parents about that?
You know what? I have plenty of tissues for my issues. No, I'm over that.
Oh, you're
I'm
over that?
You're
I'm
over it.
I'm over
I'm
it all.
I'm talking about that, and you were real
I'm over,
serious.
I'm over it all.
Having a new show, change your outlook on life?
Yeah, it's amazing how that works.
Well, maybe having a kid, too.
No, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, I was thinking.
It's you grow up.
Right.
You grow up. You get over your past stuff, and you move on.
Not me.
And let me tell you something. Well, mm-hmm. you need to grow up, then.
Possibly. I want to pay you a sort of a compliment, I guess, which is as I was thinking about Corey Feldman, you know, we have a pretty short memory in this town, but Corey Feldman was sort of the Shia LaBeouf of the early 90s, maybe. Right. Like he was, and why I say that is because
kind of the it young person who didn't have the traditional matinee idol good looks, wasn't Rob Lowe, but still a fine thespian and getting all the big roles and all the big action
in
town.
Thank you, sir.
It sort of reminded me of...
And crashed and burned harder than anybody else that ever thought about it.
Yeah, you crashed hard. But here's the thing, Adam. You know how you forget sometimes what the biggest star Corey Feldman was? You know who doesn't forget? Corey Feldman. We did a movie called Dickie Roberts, and this is where I first gained my hatred for Corey Feldman. And then since, I want to make sure everybody's clear, gotten over it. I really like him. I really do. Mm-hmm. We did this movie called Dickie Roberts.
Management.
Child star.
And we're doing this scene
David
where,
Spade.
And I wondered, I thought the first person would get this idea would be a bigger, better, brighter movie than Dickie Roberts with David Spade. But it's David Spade playing next child star.
Hey, made number one.
With
you, know, what can
you
do?
And me and Screech
and leave
and
Garrett
Mr.
nodding
Brady
out.
And, oh, Garrett literally
nodding out.
At the table. And we're playing poker.
Oh, Leif Garrett.
Yeah, Leif Garrett. And Greg Brady is, I'm betting $3.
Wonderful
Greg,
showing.
Greg Brady's betting the idol from the Tiki episode of the Brady Bunch. It was a very funny scene. So we all go downstairs to be interviewed by Entertainment Tonight, and they put out all the chairs, and everybody's looking for Corey. And we finally hear in the whispering, there's an empty chair. We hear, Corey won't do an ensemble interview. He wants to be interviewed alone. Mm-hmm. And so they go to move the chair. I go, you leave that chair right there and start rolling. And they roll the cameras, and they ask this question. I go, wait, before we continue, I'd just like to point out that Corey Feldman is supposed to be in this chair, but apparently he's just too big a star to sit with us.
Corey,
they were all butthurt because I had scruples. Imagine that.
I don't even have the board game scruples.
Imagine that.
You're starting to sound alike, too.
Yeah.
I've been told, when you did Surreal Life, I got so beat. They said, Corey Feldman is totally you. He's just a big, blowhard pain in the ass that thinks he's overboard. And I went, I'm nothing like him. And then I watched.
The difference is they actually contrived the production of those episodes to make me look like you so that they could have ratings.
Yeah, no, I'm like that.
Because your ratings in a box, my friend.
Yes, I'm a friend. Yeah.
Well, back to from your mouth to God's ears.
Yeah.
From back to the journey for a second. One movie we forgot to mention, which was Stand By Me, one of those. If you're skipping around the cable stations and you run into it, you'll stick with it until the end.
I have a new TV show with VH1 I'm shooting right now, and we talked about that yesterday. We talked about you and Stand By Me being the one of the ultimate performances. You outvoted Tatum O'Neal, who won an Academy Award as best kid performance.
Wow. I would vote for Ricky Schroeder personally in The Champ.
What year are we talking about?
I lost that job
here. We're talking about 89. What are we? Stand By Me
was like 87.
A little earlier.
86.
And you were.
Oh, he's a little younger than most people think he is.
What age?
I was, 12, 13?
So you do Stand By Me, gets great critical acclaim. You get great critical notices.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're young, you're getting all sorts of scripts sent to you.
Uh-huh.
You do the Lost Boys after that. Goonies was before?
Goonies was before that. Before that, we had Gremlins.
Right.
Friday the 13th, Part 4, the final chapter.
Right.
All these were number one films. Each one grossed over $50 million.
So I was very fortunate early.
Yeah.
When do the wheels start to come loose on the wagon?
Well, I met this guy named Corey Haim.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is history. No, pretty much. I mean, we did, I did like 15 number one films in a row.
Right.
I mean, I had this track record. It was unbreakable and unbelievable. And, like most kids, I went through my series of life's lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, mine were in the public forum, if you will. Sort of like the folks of today, except the only difference was there weren't a lot of kids that had done heroin at that time.
Right.
So I was kind of,
a trailblazer?
Yeah. There's a good way to put it.
Let me just throw in real quick.
Leading
I'm sorry.
The pack.
I made fun of you for years and years and years about the heroin balloons and stuff like that and had no idea. You've been clean what now?
17 years.
17 years.
17
years. And he's not making up. I know it for a fact. Because, I mean, if you see me on TV, you'd think I'd been sober 17 years. And I was sober every time I said I was sober. There's no cameras there when I ate it again. But I just want to point out that I actually know Corey's been sober and speaking and helping other people. I was going to say for well over a dozen years, but 17 years?
17 years.
God bless you, man.
Thank you very much.
Well, Corey, then let me ask you this question.
Yes.
Taking the spirit in which it's intended.
Yes.
Obviously, you're a fine actor.
Thank you.
We've seen your work, and you've done a succession of number one films. You're the same guy who did the number one film.
Right. That didn't change.
Right. You look the same. There's a lot of folks that have done drugs in this town and sort of gotten past it. Mm-hmm. Yet, at some point, Corey Feldman sort of became Corey Feldman, not Corey Feldman the actor, just right. Corey Feldman, the
celebrity
dude.
Go-to for the insult guy.
And now you're yes. you're not getting the scripts, or at least the great scripts anymore.
Well, I've gotten a few great scripts. As a matter of fact, we shot a film called The Birthday, which is my proudest achievement as an actor.
Really?
Quite honestly. It's the best character I've ever done. I won Best Actor Award for it in the Luxembourg Film Festival. It's played festivals all over the world and won awards. But, again, it's very eccentric, it's very out there, it's very artistic, and it hasn't been seen by pretty much any American
well,
eyes.
I'll say mainstream
right.
scripts.
Well, it's, yeah.
Hollywood
yeah.
is not right. banging Thank down you. Your door. How does that work? I mean, you're still the same guy.
Ask Robert Downey Jr. I don't know.
Yeah, well, he...
How does that work?
He's turned it around, and he's come back. You're still the same guy. You're still young. You still have ability.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see yourself getting back to that place?
Well, I don't know if I want to be in that place, because that place was a pretty awful place when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I know that where I'm at today... I'm a very, very happy individual. I've got a great family. I've got a beautiful wife, beautiful child that makes me smile every day. And I just executive produced a TV show that's getting ridiculous numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm in pretty good shape. The film that I've done three films this year. I'm working on my third right now. And I have an offer for a fourth. We won't mention any names, but it's for Warner Brothers.
Nice.
Okay. So... I think we're okay. I think we're on track.
Is there a part of...
Will it ever be, you know, gee, why isn't Corey nominated for the Oscar this year? I don't know, you know?
Well...
But I would like it to be, but at the same time, I also understand that, you know, life has been a very hard course for me. I've struggled much. I have fought much. And I'm one of those resilient people that isn't going to take it laying down. And no matter what happens, I'm going to keep getting back up, dusting myself off, and moving forward.
You know, I've always had a question about you. I have been to several of your homes. Mm. And I've always wondered, and I mean this in all sincerity, because I ran out of money and lived in the street. And every time, whether come hell or high water, you had a nice house.
Thanks.
How'd you keep the money? How do you always have a nice home?
I don't do drugs for 17 years. That helps.
Yeah, but you didn't really crank in a lot of dough in those
17
years.
No, here's the interesting part.
Two words, gay porn.
Yeah, exactly. How'd you know?
Which
one did you watch?
Which one didn't I watch?
Which
it'll
one?
Be faster.
Yeah.
Well,
I got
fans everywhere. No, you know, to be honest with you, I am making more money now than I ever did in the 80s. Like, people always say, man, you made so much money. I didn't. I was actually one of those guys that got completely screwed by every studio and every producer because I didn't have good agents. I didn't mm-hmm. have good managers. My parents were my manager until I was 15 and I got divorced from them. And then after that point, I took over, but I was a kid who was never taught how to invest, how to do anything. So really, I lost my money several times. I kept going back right. to broke, back to start. And the money I was making was not a lot of money. I mean, you look at what the kids are being paid, like big kid stars are being paid these days. I wasn't even coming in like within the ballpark.
According to Entertainment Weekly, the girl with the woman, the most powerful woman in Hollywood right now is Dakota Fanning.
There you go.
Swear to God, I'm not
That's
joking.
That's what I'm talking about. But I mean,
but she makes $12 million a picture. I made $400 a week as Danny Partridge, not $400,000.
No, so you get it. Exactly. And that's my point. I mean, in those days, kids got screwed. And I don't just mean by Michael Jackson. There was
yeah, I can't believe you want to bring that up, Mr. I Hung Out With.
My book is an open chapter or something Dude, along those
he's
lines.
Michael Jackson in New York City when 9/11 happens,
mm-hmm.
and Michael, he's on Michael's jet, and Michael splits without him.
Well, kind of like that, something like that, sort
really?
Of like that.
What
yeah.
happened?
Well, we weren't on a jet, and he didn't really split without me.
Then why'd you write like Megalomania Man?
Oh, geez.
See,
oh,
I know geez. My Feldman,
No. Megaloman was written by my wife and I, actually, regarding the September 11th incident. But what the actual story was, I was out there visiting him for the 30th anniversary hoopla
right.
that they threw at the Madison Square Garden thing. And just, you know, for the record, you know, the blood between the Jackson family and I at this point has simmered to a moderate level.
Oh,
so
okay.
we don't want to rouse any Jacksonites.
In other words, he still sure. friggin' hates him, but something happened.
But the bottom line is Michael had some crazy theory that I had done something against him, which I had not, and was super paranoid, and basically said to me, you know, we're not friends anymore if, you know, you don't fix the problem. And I said, there's no problem. And then that night, I left the arena very pissed off. And that night, 9/11 happened the next morning. And all my wife and I wanted to do was fly home because we'd been out for like 2 weeks and we just wanted to get home. And it turned out nobody was going anywhere except, of course, the Jacksons, who had a free bus.
Right.
And, and so I told the family, you know, I'm with you guys. And they said, okay, sure, you can come with us. And as we were going to get on the bus, somebody got a phone call from Michael who had told him that we had had a fight. And they said, well, Michael doesn't want you on the bus.
Well, that's even worse than my version. Yeah. My version, you can't even get on the bus.
But listen, you know you've arrived when Michael Jackson makes a call and throws you off a bus.
But for that record, you know, that we so delicately must put forth, the family itself did allow me on the bus. It superseded Michael's decision because they did the right thing. And they said, we're putting you on the bus, whether he likes it or not. Just don't tell him. Corey, and then I wrote a song about it.
Corey Feldman.
Which wasn't a bad CD, by the way.
Thank you.
Corey Feldman, the two Coreys is the name of the show on VH1. A&E. I have it right here. On A&E, Sundays, 10 o'clock. Watch and see what everyone's talking about. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with a little piece of philosophy I cooked up just the other day in my kitchen. Next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. And now, Adam Carolla.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, thank
you,
sir.
By the way, if you guys know I love my Harley. If it could be done, I can do it on a Harley Davidson. Carolla's even sent me out with the Bonaducci bagels to Nicole Richie's baby shower. Kind of spontaneously got me in a little trouble, no problem. Anyway, if you want to spend the day on a hog with me and go for a ride, just go to AdamCarolla.com, sign up, win a day of cruising with me on some Harleys powered by the number one hit comedy Wild Hog, starring Tim Allen and Martin Lawrence on DVD and Blu-ray, August 14th.
Ah, now that we've got that little piece of business done, I want to talk about something I was thinking about 2 days ago in my kitchen. You know, I always explain to people that radio is about killing time, at least in most places. I don't feel that way. I never have. And if you don't believe me, well, all you have to know is that we finished every show a couple of minutes late, and 10 years of doing Loveline, never finished early, always finished late. We do the same on this show. We try to stay on time,
right?
But we're too in love with the sound of our own voice.
And the fact is, if you're sucking, it's not even killing time. If you're sucking, then it's just really hard. But if it's good radio, it just means we're in the room having fun and assume you are too. So it's not just killing time. It's either the worst thing ever or just a party with your friends, I think.
Hold on. Was that killing time? Wait a minute. No, that wasn't.
Yeah. No. None of them are just killing time.
I start thinking about these devices. I always complain about the traffic, giving the traffic out, giving the weather out all the time. Yeah, we're not effing farmers. This isn't, you know, we're I got some smudge pots I got to put out so the citrus crop doesn't get frost on it. It's L.A., especially L.A., but even outside of L.A., you know what the temperature is. You're standing in it. I started thinking about the time. You know, that's 7:22. It's 22 after 7 o'clock. All more ways to kill 4 hours every morning. Because think about this. Right. Your alarm goes off. It's a clock radio. It's got the word clock. It's clock radio. It's not even a radio clock. It's called a clock radio. It goes off. It has a clock in it.
Fine point.
When it goes off, you look at it. As a matter of fact, you set it for the time. 7 a.m., 6 a.m., 9 a.m., whatever you set it for, it's a clock radio. You know the time.
It says the time right there, yet you cannot see any of the music or words coming out of it. You can only see time. I see your point.
If you hear my voice on the radio, it will be coming from your clock radio. You will know what time it is. And then the next time you're going to hear my voice is going to be in your car. Now, when you take your car radio and you put it on the station where you get to hear my voice, it shows up for a couple of beats and then it turns back into a clock.
Right.
So if you hear my voice, it's coming from a clock.
99% of the time. If you hear any radio, there's a clock attached to whatever it is. Yes. Unless you can't see the stereo from the driver's seat of your car, you always know what time it is. Are you ever caught off guard? Is there ever a time when the clock radio goes off at 7 a.m., you walk into the shower and you come out at noon? Or you're disoriented? Well, that's any weekend for Bonaducci. But the point is we know what effing time it is. You don't need to tell us every 4 minutes. It's another one of those devices. And once in a while, somebody says to me, why don't you do radio? Why don't you give the time out every 10 minutes? Why don't you want to do the traffic report? What about the weather? Because I have something to say, and I don't want to waste it talking about it. I'd ironically, motoring FM, I'd rather waste it talking about not talking about it, which is what I'm ironically doing right now. But listen to your next, listen, whatever you listen to, just listen to it. Listen to the repetition. Listen to the time. Listen to the temperature. Listen to the traffic. Listen to all the different ways they give out the time and all the different ways. You know, they do that thing where it's like, hey, it's 62 degrees. You may want to grab a sweater. It's Motorin' FM, where we play the best part of the best song 24/7. Come down to La Habra and kick sludge in the nuts. The point is I don't want to give the time out. I don't want to give the traffic out. I don't want to give the effing weather out. And anytime you hear that repeated on your station over and over again, you should become suspicious. Nice. You should think maybe that guy doesn't have an effing thing to say. If he agreed to give out the time, he's saying, well, I can kill time giving out the time, and that'll be one less thing I have to think about.
Can I disagree with you here?
Go ahead.
I swear this to be true. I never say this to another man in private, let alone on the radio. But I will tell you this. Most people, and this includes myself, do not have the balls you have when it comes to corporate and authority. If they came in here, and this was the Danny Bonaducci show, and they said, dude, you need to give out the time twice an hour, I would not even consider saying no. I'd say, okay, thank you, boss.
Well, it all depends on...
So when you hear a guy saying of the time, he has not agreed. He's fighting for his gig, as am I, and you are not. I don't know why.
Half true. I'm half a puss.
But you got a bunch of dough.
So I don't have, you know, so much FU money that I can tell the man to go do that to himself at any given moment. But I think I can talk the man out of talking me into giving out the time. And that's what I want to do. And the guy, the DJ, does give out the time. Yes, is sort of half a puss meets half a mute. Puss half says, I'll do what the man tells me to do. And the mute half realizes, I have nothing to say. May as well give out the time. Never going to get burned that way. And by the way, it's 9:46. That's 46. That's 46 after 9.
14
before the top of the hour. 10 o'clock, we got traffic, news, and weather coming up at the top
of
the hour.
Honestly, if you had another hour to do right now, you'd have another hour's worth of things to say.
I would go right into it, and that would eventually connect into the next day.
If they could pay enough and we were popular enough, I truly believe several of us, if not all of us, could do a 12-hour shift.
Yeah, we should do one of those stunts where we do.
Should.
We never go off the air for 48 hours.
I'll bring stuff that'll keep us awake, swear to God. And chatty.
We'll take a quick break. Be back to wrap up next. Well, there you have it. Another fine show safely behind us. I want to thank Lynn and Alex. LARagMag.com. They're doing important work. Corey Feldman, the two Corys, Sundays on A&E, 10 p.m. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.
Dude, you are gay. Whether you are the top or the bottom, you're still sleeping with a guy.